This time, will everyone please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, Ms. Hazel has something that she'd like to share with all of us.
Good evening. Thank you, Vice Chairman Haynes. At this time, I'd like for the audience and those listening to join me in a moment of silence. Since our last board meeting, we have unfortunately lost four members of our Volusia County family. If I would, I'd just like to say a few words about each of them, and then if you would join me in a moment of silence. The first one is Dr. Margaret Smith. Some of us knew her as Peg. She was our superintendent for 11 years, beginning in 2004. And as I read through her accomplishments, she was quite an accomplished woman. She had the distinction, just one of the highlights, many accolades that she earned, was that she was the superintendent of the year in both the state of Florida and in Pennsylvania. She was also, in 2015, awarded the Glass Ceiling Award by the Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs that's given to women who have broken the glass ceiling in a traditionally male-dominated field. So she was very accomplished. I had the pleasure of serving under her as well, and her leadership will certainly be missed. So I want to acknowledge her family as well. Additionally, Ms. Bonnie Wilkins, who is the registrar at Deltona Lakes Elementary, she was with our school system for 27 years. She started as a volunteer mom, then worked as a para, and then went into bookkeeping, inventory, and registrar at Deltona Lakes. Ms. Romanita Ortiz wanted me to let you all know that her knowledge and presence will truly be missed at Deltona Lakes Elementary. Then we have Mr. Nix Thomas, who assisted the DeLand High School cheerleading program for the last 4 years. He provided extra support to students and staff at cheer camps and was also provided private coaching throughout the competition season. He was a mentor to the boys and the girls programs. He was on track to graduate from UCF in the winter, where he had been a four-year member of their nationally ranked cheer team. Dr. Carr stated that it was a privilege for our staff and students to know him, and he will be deeply missed in Bulldog Country. And then finally, although not here often, she was here through her son. Mr. Reuben Colon's mother, Dahlia Colon, passed away this last weekend, and that is why Mr. Colon could not be here with us tonight, but we would like to have a moment of silence in honor of these four members of our family. Thank you very much.
So I'm going to go ahead and introduce everyone that's here today. We're going to start on my left. We have Mr. Carl Persis representing District 4. Then Mrs. Linda Cuthbert representing District 3. Mr. Ted Doran, our school board attorney. Moving over to my far right, we have Mrs. Erin Lieben, our agency clerk. Then we have Mrs. Anita Burnett, representing District 2. Then we have Mrs. Rachel Hazel, who is our superintendent. And I'm Jamie Haynes, vice chair, representing District 1. So at this time, we will move into our district vision statement and board member comments. Do I have a board member that would like to share and start us off? Thank you, Mrs. Cuthbert.
I just want to thank all of the athletes and all the scholars, administrators and parents and friends and community members who are here tonight and online to honor those who have succeeded in something that I could probably never do, whether it's athletics, excelling in achievement in a classroom or on a field, whether it's grass or sand, whether it's dirt, or even flying through the air. And when you're a hurler, What you hurl is through the air. Right, Ms. Servinette? So it's very important that we honor those who are successful. One thing public education is supposed to do is encourage competition in the spirit that we help one another, we support one another, and we celebrate each other's successes. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Mrs. Burnett.
It's been a kind of slow few weeks since we've started summer, and I hope everybody's enjoying their summer. But I kind of want to come off of your coat jacket there. It's nice that you all have joined us on your summer break so that we can honor you. And I agree, that's hard to do, and you guys have accomplished something fabulous. So congratulations, and thanks for showing out for us tonight.
Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. Good evening, everyone. I'm not feeling the best today, so I'll make it very brief. I do want to congratulate all of you for just putting out the extra effort that it takes and all the determination that it takes to be successful in anything, be it academics or athletics, as Ms. Cuthbert articulated so well. I also want to echo the comments Ms. Hazel said about Dr. Smith. I remember her well. She was strong. She was smart. She was tough. This district grew under her leadership. I remember when she appointed me to be the principal at Ormond Beach Middle School. And that was the year she and I started. And then we had three hurricanes in August, you remember, and we stopped and started school, and I remember she called me one time and she said, "Is this the way it is in Volusia County all the time?" And I said, "I hope not," but anyway, thank you, Ms. Haynes, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. I, too, would like to reiterate and say something about Dr. Smith. The first time I actually met her, she walked on stage at Deltona High as a superintendent for the first time, to honor our volunteers. And I happened to be there that day because my son at the time had done a lot of volunteering and was recognized as a youth volunteer. So he got to walk on stage and shake the new superintendent's hand and have a picture with her. But she was truly a lady that led with grace and intelligence. And our hearts are with her family, you know, at this time. But I'd also like, you know, all of you out here, we are so excited that you're here. We love seeing students in the boardroom. It's what makes the highlight of our board meetings. But in addition to that, our summer programs have actually already started. I know some of the parents are waiting for the July summer programs, but we've had June summer programs going on. And our C-Lab program, I've seen all kinds of pictures posted of our little ones that have been participating in that with all of the things that they've made. So I want to say a big thank you to the administrators, teachers, and staff that have stepped up, and already they're out there this summer working with our students. But moving on, items for approval on this agenda are items 3.01, 6.02, and 20.01 through 20.03. Public participation times for items on the consent agenda: 6 p.m. for items of general interest pertaining to public education in Volusia County. A total of up to 15 minutes will be provided for public comment at this time. Time will be provided for public comment on any action item before a board vote is called on that item. Time will also be provided at the end of the meeting for public comment for items of general interest pertaining to public education in Volusia County before items from the board, superintendent, or attorney for discussion, announcement, or approval. At this time, do we have any agenda changes?
Yes, Ms. Haynes, we do. We have just a few. I'm asking permission to move our recognitions to the beginning of the meeting. So that would just be a change in order. And then we would like to request to move 4.01, the recognition of Deltona High School girls softball team, to a later meeting. They were unable to attend, and we would like to still recognize them. So we would like to move that to a later meeting. And then one final change to remove item 14.01 from the agenda for further study and review.
All right. So you've heard what Mrs. Hazel has recommended, that we move our recognitions tonight, which start at Section 4 ahead of Section 3, and do our administrative appointments immediately following the recognitions, but we will remove recognition 4.01 off of the entire agenda, and we will also remove item 14.01. Any other changes?
Yes, I have a few that I would just like to clarify, that not necessarily remove them, but if we can discuss them. Yeah. And that was 13.05, 13.06, 13.07, and 13.12.
Okay, those are all under the consent agenda. So, right. Oh, that's fine. So we will discuss those. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the amended agenda for this evening.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. So Mrs. Cuthbert has approved that we move forward with the amended agenda, and Mrs. Burnett has seconded it. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It passes. So then we're going to go ahead and move on to our recognition items. We're going to start with 4.02, recognition of Atlantic High Boys Track 2A 4x400 relay team. Dr. Gabe Berrio.
Yes, Ms. Haynes, for all of these, Dr. Gabe Berrio will be up presenting for all of our recognitions. And he's joined by Dr. Grace Kellmeyer.
Hey, good afternoon, Vice Chair Haynes, board members, and Superintendent Ms. Hazel. We are happy to be here and excited to celebrate our students. And thank you, Dr. Kellmeyer, for joining me. As mentioned, 4.01 has been removed. So I'm going to go down the list, and because it during the summer, our athletes are super busy, so they're not all here. But we do want to recognize who is here. And for Deltona High School, who were the girls softball 4A state champions, we will schedule them for a later board meeting to celebrate them. Moving on to Atlantic High School, we want to recognize our boys track 2A 4x4. And I'm going to mention the team, which is Aiden Dixon, John Killingsworth, Kenton Royal, Emmanuel Preston. Congratulations to Atlantic High School for being the 4A state champions. Okay. And I believe for Atlantic High School, Mrs. Alves, assistant principal, is here, and any team members who are here at this time, we would like to take a photo opportunity to memorialize you as Volusia County's state champions.
Atlantic High, come forward.
Congratulations again. And we also want to recognize their coaches, Jillison Marcus and Adricus Marcus, Adricus Williamson. Thank you. And the athletic director, Shakia Brown.
No, it's okay. Yeah, go right ahead. No, go ahead. It's for school. No, go
ahead. All right, if everyone can look right here. One, two, and three.
I want everybody to be participating.
Congratulations. All right.
All right, Sharks.
All right, and continuing with the Shark celebrations.
Oh, you get to stay up there, lady.
All right, we'd like to recognize Atlantic High School student, if here, Tristan Ide, who is the boys swimming 2A 100-meter breaststroke state champion. Congratulations.
Nice.
All right, excellent. Our the coach for the swim for swimming, Miss Kristen Lochte Keeler. All right, congratulations, Atlantic High School. Moving on to the first state championship for beach volleyball, New Smyrna Beach High School. And because it's the first year for beach volleyball, there was only one classification, so there's it for beach volleyball. And so with us today is our Lily Tracy and Kaylee Lalick. Congratulations, and our coach for beach volleyball, Jonathan Cunningham. So congratulations to New Smyrna Beach. And just so everybody knows, that the rest of the team is competing in other tournaments, so that's why they can be with us. Oh, Mr. Merrick, the principal is here. Yes, trying to hide back there. And Mr. Merrick, don't go too far, because we have more New Smyrna Beach High School. All right, we have Ryan Geary was the two-way boys weightlifting champion, 129-pound category, bench clean and jerk champion. So congratulations. Lifting coach, Mr. Tim McCray. Mr. Merrick and I aspire to be just as strong as...
This is an Olympic champion right
here. Wow. Excellent.
Year 1, 2, and 3. Congratulations.
Excellent. All right, but wait, there's more for New Smyrna Beach. All right, Cole Servanek, 3A boys track and field javelin champion. Congratulations. The coach, Ryan Laureau, with us as well.
State champion, right?
May I add, two-time defending, reigning state champion.
That deserves another applause.
Oh my gosh, another one of my babies.
Don't give away your age.
1, 2, and 3.
All right, next we have Seabreeze High School, 1A girls bowling team, state champions, and they are all here today. All right, so I'm going to go through the names. Yes, go ahead, give it up. All right, so we have Sophia Allum, Kara Beisel, Isabella Fontanelli, Haley Halcomb, Brianna Hess, Madison Cuning, Maylin Sniffen, Stacey Spalding, and our bowling coach, Mr. Schuler. Come on up. Congratulations. The Seabreeze High School, Dr. Johnson.
I neglected to say Allie.
I don't want to get close to them, I'm afraid.
And they all are underclassmen.
Oh, nice. Oh, back. So they're coming back.
All right, if everyone can look right here, 1, 2, and 3.
Same crabs.
Congratulations.
Wait, same paper.
Yay. Congratulations. Dr. Berrio, normally I would have been in that photo, but I think they're better off if I'm not in that photo. So,
all right,
congratulations, girls. Yeah, awesome.
Thank you. All right, next we have Spruce Creek High School, 3A girls weightlifting champion for 129-pound snatch champion and bench clean and jerk. And that would be Genevieve Rangulis with the coach, David Nelson. And assistant principal, Dr. Porter, is here.
You can get closer. We can come all the way around. Get all the way up, yeah. Go up as far as you want.
Congratulations. All right, and the last one is University High School state champion. And just so you know, that they're on their way. They're about 5 minutes away, so I'm going to say the name, but maybe later we can do the pictures. But for recognition for state champion, two different races, boys 200-meter ambulatory and 4A boys 800-meter ambulatory, Andreas Schultz. Congratulations. The principal is here, and Coach Jennifer Lockrum is the coach. So whenever they get here, we may want to pause and take
break.
A picture.
Yep.
But I just reaching it to the state is an accomplishment. Winning the state championship and having this much representation at the state championship for one district is just spectacular. So if we can just give it up one more time to our amazing students. And
Dr. Berrio, before we close, I'd just like to compliment Dr. Grace Kellemeyer and her entire team on the support that they provide the schools to help them get to the state level. I know Mr. Beal couldn't be here today, but I know he works very closely in athletics. So congratulations to everybody. We're very proud.
Thank you.
And especially the parents who make sure all those athletes get their shots and their physician forms completed. I mean, it's always get their examinations turned in, so thank you.
So at this time, we're going to move to Section 3.01, Administrative Appointments. Mrs. Hazel.
Yes, Ms. Haynes, I have several administrative appointments, and I will start with our first cabinet-level position, and I'll ask Mr. Angel Gomez to come forward. So, school board? Yes, have a seat. Yes. You're going to get to do a lot of talking in the future, Yes. Board, it's my pleasure to announce my recommendation for the Director of Community Information Services. I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Angel Gomez. He has quite an extensive background that I'm thrilled to share with you. He began his career in 1995 as an ESOL para at Waterford Elementary in Orange County Public Schools. He then was a teacher of secondary math in both Orange County Public Schools and Broward County Public Schools at a few different schools. He has served as an assistant principal at Coconut Creek High School and West Broward High School. He's also served as principal of Piper High School in Broward County. He was the Wallace Intern Director. And if you're not familiar with the Wallace Foundation, that is a huge research foundation that is doing a lot of work in leadership studies. I follow them very closely, and that's quite prestigious. But he was the Wallace Intern Director in Demographics and Student Assignments for Broward County Public Schools. And presently, he has gained experience since 2019 as a coordinator of legislative affairs and communications for Broward County Public Schools. And we're thrilled that he has chosen to come to Volusia and serve as our director of communications.
So we've heard the recommendation for Mr. Angel Gomez to join us as the director of community information services. Do I have anyone to make a motion?
Move approval.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Burnett. So Mr. Persis has made the motion. Mrs. Burnett has seconded it. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Welcome.
Welcome. Now you can hear.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair Haynes, and the board members, and our interim, right, superintendent, and
two
the
more
staff.
Days.
I know, she's who's counting, right? And the staff, and I'm just like, first of all, I'm excited to be here among champions. They all left. I wish I would have stayed. So I could they're all gone. But they have better things to do right now. So I'm excited to be here among champions. It is very excited to come here to Volusia County. I feel, and I'm going to share with you, I feel like I'm coming home. For those of you, you know, you guys live here. And for the last 15 years, I've actually, for 11 of those years, I had a home in Volusia County that I use as my vacation destination. Isn't that crazy, right? I'm coming from Broward on vacation to the land.
Okay. We understand.
Okay,
we understand.
I love it, all right? So it is very exciting to come, and what I know will not be vacation, but it's great to be here now as a member of the community. I had the opportunity to meet my team today, some of them who are here, some of them who are on the other side of Volusia County, and it was great. I'm very excited about the possibilities. I can't wait to get started, and I thank you so much for the opportunity. I want to also thank my beautiful wife-to-be, Kristen, who's right there in pink, for coming with me today to my little Volusia County baptism, and I'm just excited. I'm just really excited. I cannot wait to get to all of you, get to know all of you personally.
So you will.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nobody leaves here without a picture, Mr. Gomez.
That's right.
You can get in. Yeah.
I
want to
do your best. Right. Put that camera higher, please.
One, two, and three.
Right. Thank you again. Thank you. So nice to meet you. Oh, I'm super excited. You'll see. Thank you.
Mrs. Hazel, the next appointment.
All right. Well, for this one, I would like for Mr. Robert J. Vogas to come forward, please. Already applause. You don't even know where I'm going with this one. So these are our principal appointments. I am thrilled to recommend Mr. Vogas for the principal of Holly Hill K-8. Mr. Vogas has been with our district since 2006. He has served as a teacher at Silver Sands, a resource teacher, assistant principal at both Mainland High School and Campbell Middle School, and most recently assistant principal at Ormond Beach Middle School. He is certified in Ed Leadership, Middle Grades Integrated Curriculum, and Social Science. He received his bachelor's degree from the University of Central Florida, his master's degree from the University of Central Florida, and he's almost there. He has a specialist degree from Stetson University. and almost there with a doctorate from Florida State University. Board, it is my pleasure to recommend Mr. Vogas for principal of Holly Hill K-8.
So you've heard the recommendation. Do we have a motion?
Yes, enthusiastically. So happy for you, too. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, thank you.
I second.
All right, so Mr. Persis has made the motion. Mrs. Cuthbert has seconded the motion. Any discussion? All right, I'm going to go ahead and say something.
I've known Mr. Vogas for a number of years where he took care of my children at Silver Sands, and just always a great relationship with you, and I'm grateful that you're still with us, and thank you, and I wish you well in your new role.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mrs. Cuthbert?
You have such a wealth of knowledge and background and experience, especially with middle school children, because elementary kids are just younger middle school students. And so it's, when I heard the news, I was so happy for Holly Hill, because they need you, and I think you need them, just like educators are needed everywhere, especially good, well-rounded, loving educators like yourself. So thank you for accepting this position. Thank you for loving Holly Hill and bringing your wealth of experience to them. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. I don't know who I'm happier for, you or them, because it's a lovely, lovely, lovely school. I think it's one of the hidden gems in Volusia County, and we're blessed to have you, so thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cook.
And I have to agree with her on that. And I also want to say thank you for all of your dedication and the fact that you've been willing so many times to take on a new challenge by moving from different levels and things like that, because that's really what it takes. In order to be able to service our students the best, we always have to be willing to take on new roles. And so I appreciate that. So at this time, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Superintendent Hazel, Madam Vice Chair, school board members, fellow educators, community. Wow. Ms. Hazel, I don't want to start out correcting you.
Oh, did I miss it?
However, as proud as I am to be a Knight now, I've never been a Knight before. I am a Florida State Seminole.
I apologize.
I did, and proud to be a Stetson Hatter.
So, I apologize. Anyway, that was
okay.
What that was about.
Anyway, just had to get that out there for my Knowles. Anyway, it is with a great sense of honor and humility that I accept this appointment to become the principal of Holly Hill K-8, home of the Knights. As a lifelong resident of Volusia County, I am well aware of the history and the traditions of the Holly Hill community and of this very unique school, which is indeed a gem in our community. I'm also aware of the good work that is already being done by the teachers, students, staff, and families of Holly Hill School, and I look very much forward to joining them all. My experience with Volusia County began as a student at Ormond Beach Junior High School back in 1975, where coincidentally I have most recently served as an assistant principal and very, very proud Panther. I joined Volusia County Schools as a professional educator, as you said, over 15 years ago as a teacher at Silver Sands. I then joined the district staff as a PAR teacher in order to develop strong novice teachers. Following that assignment, I had the opportunity to work in the district's Office of Professional Learning, and I also enjoyed the greatest summer gig ever as a national trainer for the American Federation of Teachers. And I will never, ever forget. And I will always value the good time that I had as a member of Volusia United Educators, then known as VTO, and appreciate the good work that we did as a union together. Those years added to my development as an instructional leader, which is an essential part of being an effective school principal. Listening to the small, still voice that called me into education years before, I returned to school sites where I was privileged to serve as an assistant principal at Mainland High School, Campbell Middle School, and Ormond Beach Middle School. At each school, this old dog learned new tricks from passionate, expert educators who consistently chose to do the right thing for students. I've been a very lucky old dog. Many have shaped my craft, Most of them were students. Many of you in here have helped me grow my practice, and I am so grateful for your support. It means a lot. In addition to my beautiful wife, my family, the good Lord, and the boys back at the shop, there are a few others deserving of a shout-out for their patience, perseverance, and the impact on my practice. Dr. Karen Beattie brought me into this crazy profession and helped shape my leadership journey. She has her own special brand of tough love. And it's been a pleasure going through it, I'm sure. In addition to Dr. Beattie, there have been a lot of people who have helped me, and every principal I have worked with has shaped my practice and made me the principal I am today. Potter, Inge, Roland, Salerno, Pikett, Robbie Robinson, and Miss Tootin. All of them have added something to my practice and made me the leader I am today. And there are two people that can't be here because of COVID. But I think I owe them a shout out, and I think they're proud. Tom Russell and Tiffany Walker. One was a superintendent, one was a clerk. But they taught me so much, and they truly were the best of VCS. And I'm honored to have worked with both of them. So now, as a new leader of Holly Hill School, I pledge to you and to the entire Holly Hill family to work tirelessly to ensure that every student is provided the appropriate educational experience designed to ensure their academic and personal growth. I pledge to the parents to take care of their children as if they were my own. I pledge to the teachers and staff to listen, learn, and then lead alongside you. To the Holly Hill community, I look forward to growing the trust and partnerships that we have built and those that will continue to foster the growth of Holly Hill School. As hard as I have worked to become a principal, I will work even harder to ensure that the students and faculty at Holly Hill School have the principal that they deserve, and I'm excited to be a knight. I look forward to leading the charge towards excellence. Thank you. Let's get going.
Yeah.
Our student has arrived from earlier, so we'd like to go ahead and have him come up so we can go ahead and get a picture with him.
Andrea Schultz, if you'll come on up.
Hey!
I believe Mrs. Chenoweth is here, too. Is there anyone else from university?
Ready? All right, we have one more principal to announce, and so I'm going to ask Ms. Tracy Reeser to come forward, please. Ms. Reeser, I'm so proud to recommend Ms. Reeser as the newest principal at Woodward Avenue Elementary School in DeLand. You are going to be very impressed with Ms. Reeser's resume, as I was. First, Ms. Reeser is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. She was a congressional nominee from West Point. I'm sorry, congressional appointment is the correct term, right? Congressional appointment at West Point. I'll say that again, like three times. That's so impressive. She was also part of the United States Army Military Intelligence Officer Basic Training School. She graduated from Youngstown University with a master's in English. She also graduated from the University of Cincinnati with a master's in educational leadership.
Go Bearcats! Go Bearcats! Mm-hmm.
Among her many accomplishments, she was awarded a graduate assistantship at Youngstown State University. She was promoted to the rank of captain in the United States Army. She was part of the United States Army Air Assault School, the United States Army Airborne School, and, as I said, a congressional appointment to Youngstown. She's also a published, has articles published in scholastic journals. Her educational career has been in both Ohio and in Florida, where she has served as a high school principal at Bristol Local Schools. Did I say that correctly? And a principal at Lakeview Middle School in Ohio and Warren City Schools pre-K through 8 school in Warren, Ohio. And most recently, she has moved to Florida and is currently an assistant principal in Broward County at McNeil Middle School in Hollywood, Florida. And we are so thrilled that she is coming to Volusia and to Woodward Elementary. So Ms. Reeser is my recommendation for Woodward.
So you've heard the recommendation for Woodward Elementary. Do I have a motion?
You do.
Thank you, Mrs. Cuthbert. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Burnett. And I have to say, I'm very excited that you're coming there. So any further discussion?
I'm also certified in English and as an English teacher. Thank you.
Yes. And you actually were a principal for Warren City Schools, and that's where I was born 56 years ago. So, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, congratulations and welcome to the ACK.
Superintendent Hazel, Madam Chair, Board of Education, and community members who are both sitting in this room and maybe watching today's broadcast. I'm incredibly honored that you have selected me to be the next Woodward Elementary School principal. This is really one of the happiest moments of my life. And I was just here a couple of weeks ago. I met Miss Hazel right here in this room, and she said to me and my husband, "Welcome home." I do indeed feel that I have indeed come home to my forever home right here in Volusia County, and specifically here in DeLand, where we are we're buying a home right here in DeLand. So I would like to thank a few very dear people in my life who have been there for me every step of the way. First, my husband, Bill, who you met a couple of weeks ago. He's now the high school principal of Pine Ridge High School. It was just over 26 years ago that I met and married Bill when he was a young officer in the United States Army at Fort Drum, New York, where both of us were stationed. We, over the years, made a beautiful family and life together, raising our children, who I'm very proud of. Our son, Jacob, went to West Point and graduated in 2020. It has been wonderful kind of reliving my West Point experience through his eyes. I tried, believe it or not, I don't talk much about West Point with Jacob. I let him kind of share things with me as if I'd never experienced it before, so it could be fresh and new for Jacob. So he just came back from a year-long deployment in Iraq. So he's now stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, as a first lieutenant. Very proud of him. My daughter, Sarah, just graduated from the Naval Academy this year, just a few weeks ago. And she will be stationed with her soon-to-be husband. She's getting married this weekend. They'll be stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. So it was always interesting because both my kids were together. They were at service academies concurrently about 2 years together. So Army-Navy games were always kind of interesting. I still have issues with when she says beat Army. But that's okay. I'm working on that still, working through some of that. So very, very proud of my children, my family. I want to thank those many educators and administrators along the way, and also my brothers and sisters, everyone who has helped me, supported me through the years. As far as being the Woodward Elementary principal, I am so excited and humbled by the chance to lead those superstars, the students and the staff. In fact, I just met our AP, Ms. McFall-Conte. She came in tonight, and I really appreciate her showing up. I'm looking forward to working to get, with her and to make Woodward Elementary an amazing place. It's already amazing. We're going to continue to work together to make sure that we raise the standards even higher and bring everybody closer as a family unit. I really want to develop a sense of family community at Woodward, where there's a love of learning, where seeds of greatness are planted, where with that nurturing and love and dedication, we will all play a significant role in helping them reach their fullest potential. People to be people of character who contribute to our world in positive ways, where they will share their gifts and talents for their own joy and for the benefit of others, where they will be 21st century learners and who can approach tasks with confidence and with critical thinking. We also want our students to never forget that it's so important that we care about other human beings. That is something that I've seen in just my brief time here in Volusia, the way we care about others. And, you know, when I think about my educational journey, the most powerful year was actually in second grade, where I had a teacher who believed in me, who awakened me to my own potential. And everything from second grade, everything sort of flowed in a positive direction for me because of that loving relationship in second grade where someone believed in me. And I believe in our school. I believe in our students, our community members, our family members. And I look forward to a wonderful relationship this year at Woodward Elementary. Thank you all.
Yay.
Before we move to assistant principal appointments, I just have a few transfers to announce. The first one is Ms. Heather Iannarelli from Holly Hill. As she's principal at Holly Hill K through 8 as principal of Ormond Beach Middle School. The next transfer to announce, and these don't require a vote, but we do want to announce them, is Mr. Lloyd Haynes from Deltona Middle School, assistant principal, to assistant principal at Ormond Beach Middle School. And then finally, Ms. Wendy Reeves, coordinator of early learning and voluntary pre-K, will assume the role of assistant principal at Indian River Elementary School. Those are effective July 1st. All right, and now for our assistant principal appointments. I'd ask Dr. Amy Blowers to come forward, please. While she's coming forward, I will give a brief bio for her. She began her career in Volusia County Schools in 1999. She has served as a teacher, a specialist with online learning, teacher on assignment from Campbell Middle, and teacher on assignment currently at Mainland High School. She's certified in educational leadership, English, exceptional student education, ESOL, English for speakers of other languages. She has a bachelor's degree from Culver Stockton College. Is that correct? Okay, right. Just making sure. And master's degree and doctoral degree from Grand Canyon University. And you also have a very distinguished military career as well, correct? Yes, she's currently in the
Navy Reserve.
Navy Reserves. Go Navy.
Go okay. Navy.
So it is my recommendation. I don't think I said where. It is my recommendation from Dr. Blowers to be the assistant principal at Creekside Middle School.
So you've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I have a motion?
yes, I'd like to recommend her. She 20 years ago, we taught together at New Smyrna High.
Thank you, Mrs. Cuthbert. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Burnett. So Mrs. Cuthbert has made the motion. Mrs. Burnett has seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any discussion? All right. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Deputy Superintendent Hazel, board members, guests, I'll use your new title.
I appreciate it.
Almost 24 years ago, Dr. Carol Ann Kelly invited me to join the New Smyrna Beach High School CUDAs as an English teacher working with the Senior Exit Project that everyone knew and loved at that time. 5 years later, Dr. Mangeli at Pine Ridge High School asked me when I was going to be an administrator and planted the seed he had no idea he was planting. Mr. Russell then gave me my first opportunity to leave the classroom as an instructional support teacher and cultivated in me the power of positivity as he created Positive Pine Ridge. Dr. Melissa Carr put me on my leadership path as an administrator with Volusia Online Learning and instilled in me more than we have time for me to list today. She has been and continues to be an incredible role model and mentor, and I'm forever indebted to her. The Campbell Middle School crew taught me so much about passion and dedication and how to be a number one Spartan. And Dr. Castelli and the Mainland High School team welcomed me home with open arms, supported my leadership growth, and very quickly made me a part of the Buck Pride Never Dies family. I am forever grateful for everyone who has been a part of my journey, big and small. I wouldn't be here today, though, without the love and support of my family. My parents, siblings, and extended family have been my cheerleaders. My kids, three of whom have graduated from Atlantic High School, one from Spruce Creek High School, and one who will start middle school this fall, have allowed me to put wings to my dreams, no matter how challenging those dreams appeared. My husband, the absolute love of my life, who's here today, has always supported and sometimes pushed me when I needed it to keep reaching for the stars. He is my rock and my best friend. Finally, I give all praise to God. 2021 taught me so much about honor, courage, and commitment, as well as the power of prayer. His plan has always been greater than anything I could come up with, and even when I lost patience, which happens frequently because patience isn't one of my strong suits, I have always been exactly where I'm supposed to be, exactly when I'm supposed to be there. I am extremely blessed and excited to join the Creekside Middle School team. Thank you so much, Mr. Cash and Ms. Core, for believing in me and giving me this incredible opportunity. Go Cougars. Hey.
All right. My next recommendation for appointment couldn't be here tonight, but I'll just briefly make the announcement and read his biography, and that is William Kelly Case, as it is my recommendation that he be appointed assistant principal at Henson Middle School. Mr. Case has served us since 2005 as a teacher on assignment, assistant principal at New Smyrna Beach High School, Ms. Cuthbert.
He's a graduate of New Smyrna, too.
He's also served at David Henson Middle School as a teacher and teacher on assignment. He is certified in educational leadership, middle grades, social science, and exceptional student education. He received his bachelor's degree from the University of Central Florida. I think that's correct. And his master's degree from Nova Southeastern University. And it is my recommendation that he serve as principal for Henson Middle School.
So you've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion?
Do you mind if I make another one? Okay, as assistant principal, Mr. Case.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. So the motion's been made by Mrs. Cuthbert, seconded by Mr. Persis. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then congratulations, Mr. Case. We are
done. I just comment? Yes. He's a remarkable young man. He really is. He'll continue to do very well at Henson. So congratulations.
At this time, I'd like for Erica Harris to come forward. Board, it is my recommendation that Ms. Erica Harris serve as assistant principal at Citrus Grove Elementary. Ms. Harris has been with our district since 2013, serving as a teacher at Freedom Elementary, a teacher at South Daytona Elementary, and teacher on assignment at Citrus Grove Elementary, where she will return as assistant principal. Her certifications are in educational leadership, elementary education, English for speakers of other languages, and reading. She holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Central Florida and a master's degree from Stetson University.
So you've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, so Mrs. Burnett has made the motion and Mrs. Cuthbert has made the second. Any discussion? I have something to say. So I've known Erica since she started teaching at Freedom Elementary, and I have to tell you, one of the things that most impressed me about her was we were holding a summer program there, and she didn't even apply to teach summer programs, but she came in and she volunteered. She volunteered on that first day, which principals out there, especially at elementary, know. You have all these buses pulling up and little people getting off of them onto a campus that they've never seen before, and she was there. And she didn't have to come in. She wasn't being paid to be there, but she came in because she knew that was the thing that needed to happen and she could help out at her school. And that's when I had the first opportunity to meet her, and I'm so excited about this for you. So at this time, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Good evening, Superintendent Hazel, School Board Vice Chair Haynes, and School Board members. I am humbled, honored, and overjoyed to be sitting here, in front of you all this evening as I begin my journey as assistant principal. I have been an educator for 12 years and with Volusia for the past 9. With my husband being in the military, I had to begin my career in North Carolina. But I always knew I was destined to serve in Volusia County Schools. Volusia County Schools is my home. I am a proud alumni of Long Lake Helen Elementary, Orange City Elementary, go Roadrunners, DeLand Middle School, go Terriers, and DeLand High School, go Bulldogs. And now I am also a proud parent of 2 Citrus Grove Eagles. I have had the pleasure of learning and growing as TOA for the past 3 years at Citrus Grove. I am so excited to continue serving my school family and my community as their assistant principal. I want to take the time to first thank my husband and family who have showed me support through my entire journey from every Saturday all day long at grad school for an entire year to many late nights at school. I couldn't have done it without them. I would like to thank Mrs. Brandy Hogue for seeing the potential in me and supporting me through my leadership journey. I would like to thank Mrs. Melissa Marple for opening so many doors of opportunity for me as I learned and grew. I want to thank Mrs. Jennifer Williams for bringing me into my first administrative position as TOA and taking me under her eagle wing to build the strength in my leadership skills through her guidance and support. I would like to thank both Mrs. Wadalis Camacho and Mr. Frank Martello. Their guidance, support, and leadership has been priceless learning for me over the past 3 years. Finally, I would like to thank my Eagle family for their support. Thanks to each of you for building me into the educator and leader that I am today. As assistant principal of Citrus Grove, I will continue to work to increase student achievement through a supportive and positive culture. I am proud to be an Eagle and will always do my Eagle best and nothing less.
I 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. All right, next I'd like for Miss... Oh. All right, next I'd like for Miss Marjorie Henderson to come forward, please. Fans out there. All right, Miss Henderson began her... It is my recommendation that Miss Henderson serve as assistant principal at Longstreet Elementary. Ms. Henderson began her career with Volusia County Schools at Sunrise Elementary in 2006 as a teacher. She also served as a teacher at Enterprise Elementary and as academic coach at Enterprise Elementary and Longstreet Elementary. She has certifications in educational leadership, elementary education, English for speakers of other languages, and reading. She earned her bachelor's degree from the University of Pittsburgh and her master's degree from Stetson University. And she is our recommendation for assistant principal at Longstreet Elementary.
So you've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
And a second?
I'll second.
So Mr. Persis has made the motion and Ms. Burnett has seconded it. Is there any discussion?
I thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome to the Cardinal world over there at Longstreet. That's where I began. My first administrative position was at Longstreet Elementary as an assistant principal. So I sat right where you are sitting, and when I was there, we had two different principals during my time there. But I fell in love with the school, and all my nieces and nephews, they all went to Longstreet, and It's kind of a special place because we, as you know, we don't have too many schools on the beach side, and that one is embraced by the Daytona Beach Shores community and Ponce Inlet and Wilbur by the Sea, all these little towns. But it's a great place and in a great mix of students and dedicated staff. I just really loved serving at Longstreet Elementary School, and I know that you will too, and they will love you as their new assistant principal. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
And as you know, you started at two wonderful schools over here on the west side of the county, Enterprise being one of them, which is where I started years ago, and we are very excited tonight that even though you flipped over to the east side, it's like Mr. Persis said, you're at a perfect elementary school on the east side. So if there's no further discussion, do you want to say something, Mrs. Burnett?
I'll say something real quick. I've been to RJ Longstreet a few times, and you guys know how to celebrate over there. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So we've heard the motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Congratulations.
School board members, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to continue my career in Volusia County as the assistant principal at RJ Longstreet. I'm so excited to take this next step. There are a few people that had a hand in my career as ongoing, and the first person who ever actually said anything to me about being a leader was Dr. Virginia Abernathy. She would talk to me about saying, you need to get into leadership, you need to get into leadership. And I said, oh, that's not for me. I don't see myself as that person. But when she selected me to be her academic coach and all of those responsibilities, I started a will in my mind. And then she recommended me to go to Stetson, and so I did. So she was really the person that was foremost in my career step. The other one was Sherry Lou McConnell. She was my next principal, and she really taught me how to lead from the front and how to be a servant leader, and I am grateful for that. And finally, Dr. Hobrick, who I'm working very close with now. She has taught me so much, And I am so excited to continue this work and work even closer with her and get to see and get to know the Cardinal families on a different level. And I couldn't go on without speaking about the one person in my life who is my greatest support, and that's my daughter, Sarah. She's always been there supporting me and just congratulating me and loving me, and along with my son-in-law and my little granddaughter, and lots of friends, but my daughter, Sarah, is one of my biggest supporters. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Nice. Hey, Miss Buffy Snipes, if you'll come forward, please. Vice Chairman Haynes and School Board, it is my pleasure to announce my recommendation for Buffy Snipes as Assistant Principal at Discovery Elementary. Ms. Snipes began her career with our district in 2004 as a teacher at Hearst Elementary, which then became Champion Elementary. And she also served as an academic coach at Champion Elementary and is currently the teacher on assignment at Edith Stark Elementary, where she will be greatly missed, I understand. She is certified in educational leadership, elementary education, English for speakers of other languages, and reading. She received her bachelor's degree from the University of Central Florida and her master's degree from St. Leo College. And she is my recommendation for assistant principal at Discovery Elementary.
You've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. So Mrs. Cuthbert has made the motion, and Mrs. Burnett has seconded the motion. Any discussion? I'd like to say welcome over to the west side, because I know you started your whole career over on the east side, and we're happy to have you on the west side. And I know Stark is disappointed that they're losing you, but I know that Discovery is very happy that you're joining there. So if there's no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Congratulations.
I want to thank all the school board members and Superintendent Hazel for this opportunity. It is truly an honor. Thank you to my family and my friends for all the support and sacrifices over the years, late nights, weekends, always going above and beyond to do whatever it takes. Without you, I would not be here today. I have truly been blessed to have so many supportive friends and family in my life. I would also like to express my gratitude to all the amazing leaders who have supported me in education at Volusia County Schools. While I worked under several great leaders at Hearst/Champion over a span of approximately 20 years, 13 of those years were under Mary Ann Bull. Dr. Bull always pushed me to take the next steps and always try new things. She saw the leadership in me when maybe I didn't see it myself, and I questioned her decisions, but I'm so grateful that she always pushed me to move forward. I think that she definitely had a lot of confidence in me. Then, 2 years ago, I took that leap of faith and decided to leave the East Side and join the Stark family. That is where Mrs. R and her administrative team took me in and made me feel like I was returning home. I was part of a well-oiled machine there at Stark Elementary. It was there that I was able to really put my leadership skills to work and take on a multitude of responsibilities that have led me to where I am today. Thank you, Mrs. R.
I will deeply miss Champion and my Stark family, but as some of you may know, Miss Dietz was also a member of the Champion family at one time, and I really look forward to working with her, and I am so grateful that I have this opportunity to move forward in my career and join Miss Dietz at Discovery Elementary and become an official Dragon as their new assistant principal. Thank you again.
This is our last appointment, but not my last announcement. But I am going to ask Ms. Stephanie Elliott to come forward, please. Ms. Elliott is going to be my recommendation for assistant principal at Palm Terrace Elementary.
Okay.
Ms. Elliott began her career with Volusia County Schools in 2015 at Spirit Elementary as a teacher. She has served since 2020 as teacher on assignment at Palm Terrace Elementary. She is certified in Ed Leadership, Elementary Education, English for Speakers of Other Languages. She received both her bachelor's and her master's degree from Stetson University, a double hatter. Congratulations. And she is my recommendation for assistant principal at Palm Terrace Elementary.
So you've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion?
Yes, move approval.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. So Mr. Persis has made the motion. Mrs. Cuthbert has seconded. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I just want to congratulate you. I have watched you work for the last few years. I know if Mr. Harris was in the room, he would be very proud of you too. And I know he supports this recommendation. And Palm Terrace is one of our wonderful schools, and there's always a lot going on. And I know you're going to be a big asset to the new principal, which I'm sure you'll be speaking about very soon.
We're going to make an announcement in just a minute.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And once again, congratulations.
Any other discussion? Then at this time, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Congratulations.
Hey. Is it on? Good evening, Superintendent Hazel, Vice Chair Haynes, and school board members. I sit here before you humbled and eager to begin my journey as an assistant principal at Palm Terrace Elementary School. I want to take a moment to thank Carrie Devaney, Corinne Cobb, Tucker Harris, and Karen Troutman. Each of your dynamic leadership styles have inspired me and have shaped me into the leader I am today. Thank you to Brandy Hogue and Carrie Servanac for your mentorship and having confidence in me and believing in my leadership abilities. PTE Superpod family. I'm excited to be returning to the most supportive and hardworking team. I look forward to serving with you and putting in the work each day to do what's best for our students. To my family that's tuning in via live stream this evening, I love each of you and appreciate your never-ending support. You're the best cheerleaders a girl could ask for. Lastly, I want to thank all of the Volusia County School students. You continue to inspire me each year and fuel my passion for the field of education. Thank you.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Board, that concludes our appointments for this evening. However, I would like to make an announcement about concerning Palm Terrace Elementary. So I'm going to ask Ms. Servanak and Ms. Troutman to come forward and join Ms. Elliott at the dais, please. Board, we all recognize that Palm Terrace Elementary has unique needs, and when we were considering who to lead the school, we know that we needed a plan that would set them up for success, not only in the immediate future, but a long-term plan as well. This search was not as simple as finding a qualified candidate and naming a principal. We need someone who has demonstrated a commitment to the school and who can carry on what has been started and move forward on the path to improvement. We put a great deal of thought into a plan for Palm Terrace, and while this plan that I'm going to present to you is a little bit outside of the box, I think you will agree that it demonstrates our commitment to ensuring that the students at Palm Terrace get everything that they deserve in the coming school year. Ms. Servanak has served our district since 2007. In that time, she has been a part of administrative teams that have raised schools' grades from D to a C or above three times, twice as the principal. She has demonstrated her ability to turn around schools and support all students. In her current role as Director of Transformation Schools, she has supported transformation schools in our district-wide, and we're looking forward to seeing this hard work pay off in the coming days. Actually, I have an announcement about scores in just a minute. In the coming hours. Ms. Troutman, who's also at the dais, has served our district since 2002 in some of our most fragile schools. She has been the assistant principal at Palm Terrace for the past 4 years. In that time, she has been instrumental in the work to transform the school culture and focus on teaching and learning. Ms. Troutman has completed 1 year of the principal preparation program. She is committed to Palm Terrace as she calls the community home, and her own children have attended Palm Terrace Elementary. Our out-of-the-box plan for Palm Terrace will be for Ms. Servanak to serve as director on assignment assigned to Palm Terrace Elementary. She will work each day supporting and coaching Ms. Troutman. Our goal is to thoroughly prepare Ms. Troutman for the principalship. This is a unique opportunity for Ms. Troutman for a special assignment and for a hands-on experience. We will be evaluating each 9 weeks and looking at data to determine just the right time to start to pull Ms. Servanak back into her current role. Our hope is that this is a successful partnership with a clear succession plan. So, Board, I'd like to present to you the administrative team for Palm Terrace Elementary next year. This does not require a vote because we're not changing anyone's role or title. However, I did want to present for the community's sake our plan and if you have any words to offer at this time.
Distinguished board members, Superintendent Rachel, for the moment, it is with a humble heart that I sit before you again. Thank you for your faith in me. It has become my life's work to work in these transformation schools. With each assignment, I have learned more, and I have become a stronger leader. And I've been blessed for the past 2 years to work at Palm Terrace Elementary. The faculty and staff, especially those sitting right beside me, hold a huge place in my heart already. Anyone that knows me knows that I put students first, and that I truly value hard work. These are already the core values that I observe every day in the SuperPod. I am grateful to work alongside this talented team, and together we will ensure that all students reach their highest potential. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Cuthbert, go ahead. All I can say is, well, you're such a super team. Talk about superpowers.
You're generally the... We have to have a special name for you. We have to come up with a special team superhero thing to identify the three of you together. Thank you, Ms. Cervenek, for stepping in. One of the greatest things to be an educator is even when we're in leadership position, we're always educating. We're always going to be an educator, and it's a wonderful opportunity to keep going back and mentoring and being in a classroom. We don't have to be in a classroom to be in a classroom. I think our classroom is right here in the boardroom. And so I thank you, all three of you, for dedicating yourselves to Palm Terrace Elementary. That was my daughter's first school. And because they were a D, they got to hire more teachers. She was on a grant, and they went from a D to a C that year, so she lost her job because they didn't need her anymore, which happens a lot. Once you make progress, you know, you leave. And I think she went to Enterprise and then went to Edgewater, and then now she's at New Smyrna Middle. But we all have different service at different times, and you're so right. We need to be in the right place at the right time. And that's what Ms. Dr. Blowers had said as well, that it's a unique opportunity in order for us to be riding a certain tractor in through the field of education, because we're always having to mow something down in order to rebirth and bring it even up to the height of the sky. So thank you all for your dedication. Appreciate it. I'll be looking forward to working with you in the next couple of months. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I just have to say thank you, because you truly have that servant's heart. And I've watched you over the years step in and take other schools and turn them around. And that's why you're in the position that you're in. And this school needs the three of you to work together to make a positive difference, to keep on the upward movement for these students, because every child is a gift and every child deserves the best education possible. So when I got the phone call about thinking outside the box, it was a little different, but you know what? I think thinking outside the box for Palm Terrace is absolutely the right thing for every child on that campus and for every staff member and teacher. So thank you, because you've done it before, and you're going to do it again with these two wonderful ladies sitting beside you.
Did you have some more? School board members, Superintendent Hazel, and distinguished guests, I come to you humbly honored today. First, I'd like to take a moment to thank God and those who've paved the way before me, dedicating their time and energy for me to continue their work. The Palm Terrace family and staff has worked extremely hard this year, putting their energy and ensuring each student receives a quality education and is set on a path for success. The community of Palm Terrace Elementary will make a positive difference in the lives of the students and families that we serve by creating an environment of clear and high expectations where students and family voice is the norm. We will accelerate learning by providing success, access through deep engagement and rigorous instruction. Above anything, we will continue to work as a family. We will continue to own our place in this community. We will continue to achieve all what is possible. We will serve to strive for student success because we are the Dolphins. We travel in a pack known as the Super Pod. Yeah. Wish, swish, and thank you all.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 o'clock, right?
We're going to pause for just a moment as we have some of our audience exit. It is 5:56. 6 p.m. is our set time for public participation concerning any items for education. So if it's okay with the board, we'll go ahead and move into the public participation at 6 p.m. Do we have any cards? Oh, that's amazing.
Really? I don't think that's ever happened before.
I don't think that's ever happened before either.
At least three of them.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Albert. All right.
All right. I got it. I'm writing this down.
No. Yeah. Somebody make a note. I don't think we've ever had that happen. Okay, then we're going to move into the consent items. And so at this time, do we have any removal of items from the consent agenda? I already have
14.01.
I'm looking for my one.
I already have from Mrs. Burnett. She'd like to have a discussion about 13.05, 13.06, 13.07, 13.12, and then we have a removal of 14.01. Mrs. Cuthbert, do you have anything else?
Yes, I'm trying to find the number. It's the five-year survey for the condition of our homes. I would just like, if it's at all possible, if Mr. Group could just explain to the public why this five-year survey is so very important.
That's item 12.14.
Okay, Burnett, thank you. Right over it.
Is it okay with you if we go ahead and do 12.14?
Yes.
All right, because I had questions about that too. Mr. Group, can you come forward, please? And if Ms. Doster wants to come with you. Oh, okay. She doesn't. All right. She declined. Okay.
She's saving her voice.
Item 12.14 is approval of the 2022 through 2027 Educational Plant five-year survey. So we'll start with Mrs. Cuthbert.
A lot of people don't realize why we need to look at this, especially it's 5 years in the future. And that's an awful lot of statistics, a lot of data, information that you have to provide the state. We have to file this every 5 years. Why is this so very important, and why is it good for us, especially your department, Director of Facilities, did I say that correctly? Director of Facilities, why is it so important for you to know this?
Well, thank you for asking the question, Madam Chair, board members. Ms. Hazel, thank you for inviting me up. This is an important document that it is 5 years in the cycle for our requirement to turn it into DOE. But it is a reference manual. It's kind of our roadmap for our capital improvement plan that we submit every year for all of our major capital projects. It's a quantitative survey of all of the buildings that we own in the district. Educational or support facilities, and it helps us build our FISH survey of space utilization and
explain what FISH is. It's the Florida inventory
of school houses, and so this is our inventory of spaces from a, and it's a large volume of work, as you can see, takes quite a while to put it together. And we, every 5 years, it's a requirement for us to submit it and update it for the changes that we've made during that five-year period. So if we built any new schools, they'll get added into the inventory. Made any major improvements, all of that gets added into the inventory. So it's, but then once a year, and we'll be bringing to you here, I believe, next month for review is the draft of our next year's capital improvement, the rolling five-year plan. And it's based upon this document. So this is a reference manual. It's a support document for us that we go to on a regular basis, and it's used to generate that five-year capital plan.
So in other words, in Volusia County speakies, it's called your strategic plan, more or less.
Yes.
At least, yes, your roadmap, but it's kind of like what's ahead of you. Does it help you with the half-cent sales tax?
It does. There are projects in there that are funded by half-cent sales tax. The document doesn't show funding sources. It does show funding requirements based upon square footage and based upon formulas that are built into the DOE software. So we don't really have much control over what those costs say in that report. We can do spot surveys and revise that, and if we make changes to our plan. So those numbers you'll see in there may look alarmingly low, especially in today's market, but they're based upon when all districts submit their plans. And it's done on a rotating basis. Not all districts are on the same five-year cycle to revise. We happen to be on this one that'll take us from 2022 through 27.
Thank you, Mr. Grubb. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So my question was, when you're looking at the different schools, for example, on page 67, and out of the 209 pages, it mentions Bonner Elementary. And so it says that, you know, the school's not being recommended now for continued use. And I'm assuming that's because we've sold the property to Childs Academy. So does this continue to stay on our five-year plan, even though we've already sold the property to them? Or, you know, does it take a five-year cycle before it comes off?
No, we can revise that with a spot survey. There are several items in there that were happening as we were developing the plan. One of them was the sale of Bonner. There were three Castaldis that we were waiting to get back from the state that we had sent up in February that we just received recently. So we don't have to wait a five-year cycle. We can revise those as we see the need to.
Okay, and so that brings me to the second question, which is on page 95 of the 209 pages, and that was on Edith I. Stark. Because we have, you know, existing that we're using it, and then it says recommended for continued use. So was this put together before we received the Castaldi report?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Okay. So if we move forward then with a new school for Stark Elementary with a larger number of student stations, then we can change this once we have moved forward with that.
That's correct. We'll do a spot survey and we'll bring that up to current needs.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming forward and answering some of our questions.
Thank you very much.
Then we will move on to item 1305. Mrs. Burnett.
Thank you. I did get responses already from the staff, but I just wanted to ask these questions so anybody in the community could understand what was going on as well. So let's see, let me get to my notes on that. So 1305, what I was asking for was on this behavioral change artist, if this was going to be used school-wide, and how would the training be for the teachers, and if this was a replacement program. And I think
I actually can give you that information. This contract is the one that provides our behavior specialists for all of our schools, so it doesn't impact all of our schools, but it's the personnel services of actually sending those behavior specialists into the schools.
So this is going towards helping with our mental health services.
It is. It's specifically geared towards exceptional student education and services those students. So they serve students who are in our exceptional student education programs.
Thank you.
All right, then moving on to item 13.06, professional development for achievement.
Okay, and very similar questions with that as well. They were all very similar. So I was wondering if this was replacing another program, and did our end users, teachers, educators, people in the classroom have a say, or how are they going to be trained on this?
So it's actually a continuation. It is something. Core Connections is a it provides writing strategies, professional development for our teachers. We started the implementation in the 2021 school year. There were 23 schools that participated, and at the end of the year survey, 22 out of the 23 indicated that they wanted to continue to utilize the support of Core Connections. It's not actually materials programs, but it's professional development. During the classroom visits, we've seen the strategies that they teach in use, but we did survey the schools to see if they wanted to continue, but it's a continuation of something they've already done.
Thank you.
The next item is 13.07.
And basically the same question I just asked, is this a new program? Are we a continuation and the training for the end user stakeholders?
No, and despite its name, Civic Solutions, it's actually a company that provides us with support for Medicaid that handles the claims and collecting the funds that are due to the board through Medicaid.
Gotcha, okay. And you did respond to that.
Its name is Civic Solutions, so that would, you would think that, but it is about our Medicaid billing.
So actually my question to piggyback off of that was, so we're paying them and they're going to collect the Medicaid payments, so we don't have someone in-house doing it. We're using this company.
That's correct. And Ms. Rowland is here to answer any additional questions. I've used up all my knowledge. So there's Ms. Rowland.
Thank you, Ms. Rowland.
Good evening, everyone. When we use Civic Solutions, when we had someone in-house that was doing, we were missing a lot of dollars. This past school year, I think we got about $260,000 as reimbursement from Medicaid, which we hadn't gotten before. So we pay them, but we do get plenty of money back from Medicaid, because sometimes we miss, they know all the ins and outs of what we can and cannot bill for. And at this point, we will not be able to bill for our non-ESC students as well. So that amount will definitely go up more our next school year and hopefully in the future. So they do, we use them, and they do provide us with a service that we miss out on some dollars, quite a bit of dollars, if we didn't have them to assist us.
Yes. Ms. Haynes, may I have a...
Yes.
And so when we collect funds from Medicaid, where are we putting that money back to?
It goes to the general fund, so I'm not sure where it's actually placed at that point. I know Ms. Snead talked about it before she left. There was quite a bit of money that was received, but I'm not sure where those funds go. I have no clue. Sorry.
I think it does go back into the...
Does it go in the general fund?
I think it does go back into the general fund, which supports, which is where we take the money for the programs to begin with, and it goes back to replenish those.
Mrs. Cuthbert has a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was just going to make a comment. When I was chair last year, we had this discussion on several things about either individual schools or departments or the district itself was trying to collect money that it was owed through special programs. This is a perfect example. And we decided that it would be easier and less problematic on our support staff. So they don't have, it's something lifted off the responsibility off their shoulders. They don't have to worry about it now. It's a little more time to do other duties, so we help the employee. Also, we're able to, it's more efficient and accurate. So what we pay for these companies, we end up collecting more. So really we're better off hiring someone else who has the expertise to do this for us. And then it comes in one lump sum, and it's easier for our staff to deposit it, our finance department,
right,
or purchasing, deposit it into where it's supposed to go. It's much simpler. It saves time. But I liked it, especially when it relieves stress and responsibility on support staff.
Yep. Okay, thank you. With COVID these past 2 years, nursing department just would not have been able to get any of that done. So it was a big help and assistance this past 2 years that we've had to use them. And we've used them for like 15 years, so it's not anything that's new, but they have helped us along the way.
Thank you. And Dr. Balgobin and Dr. Fritz both worked behind the scenes to help alleviate
that responsibility during, especially during the pandemic, anywhere we could help people not have to do as much as they did before.
Well, and with that's a medical type billing, and so I know how that is. It's very tricky.
So, Mrs. Rowland,
yes.
You're our liaison then with the company?
Between Ms. Fish and myself, yes.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming up and answering our questions. The next item is item 13.12.
Thank you. My question on that one was basically I just wanted to make sure that that was a program approved from the Florida DOE.
So I do have Ms. Rubinsky here to answer questions regarding that, but I can tell you the benchmarks phonics intervention is an additional Tier 3 reading intervention, and I know that the state list is very, very limited as to what they offer. And this complements our current English language arts core curriculum, which is benchmark advanced and is on the state approved list.
That is correct.
Thank you.
So the benefit to that program is that it is designed in tandem with our core instruction. So this is an additional resource that they are offering now that was not offered when we first purchased. We have the intervention materials that came with it, and this is an additional purchase above and beyond that, that is specific for Tier 3 intervention, and it will be on our K-12 decision trees, which are approved by the state as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Ms. Workman, do we have any public input for any of the consent agenda items? All right. So the only item then that is being removed is item 14.01, which will be addressed at a later time. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as is with only the removal of item 14.01?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So Mrs. Burnett has approved the consent agenda with the removal of 14.01. Mrs. Cuthbert has seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Go ahead.
I want to make a comment.
Go ahead.
This is my eighth year being on the board. Earlier in my years, we didn't really discuss consent agenda items. Only in the last year or two. So I want to probably compliment you because you're the newest one on the board and a lot of questions you've had. And you've asked a lot of questions. I've brought up a lot of questions too. And I thank Mr. Grobe for coming tonight to help explain it. I think it's really good, not just for us to hear, but hear from our staff and all the hard work that they do. But it's also good for the public to hear because there's so much involved in this consent agenda. That is the bulwark of all the work the school district does. It's at the campus level, it's the district level, it's the middle level. Students get to benefit from so many of these programs. But we've also streamlined, and I remember several years ago we were questioning the number of programs we had and were the programs appropriate for the usage? Did the dollars match what we were purchasing? And so there's been a lot of in-depth discussion about certain purchasing. And I think that's one reason why our procurement department won that State of Florida award, because there's been a thorough investigation and rehash and an analyzation of what we do and where we spend our money to make sure that it's well worth it for our students and for the public's benefit. So I just want to say thank you. I know it takes time. Sometimes it can be a little mundane, but I find it fascinating to hear, especially like from Ms. Rubinsky and from Maria Kraft when she comes and talks, and Mr. Group and his staff. So thank you very much. I just want to say it's very, very interesting.
At least to me.
Thank you, Mrs. Cuthbert, and I agree with you. I think sometimes the items that are put on the consent agenda, people read them, but they really don't have the in-depth knowledge or the understanding of them. And I think it is a good thing for board members to bring forth items and allow staff to explain them.
Especially there are three of us on the board of five that are educators. So we kind of know the lingo. We know what has gone on, and we've all spent many years in the district. But I think Mr. Purse is the one that's the oldest.
I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention.
If I was healthy, I'd come back to you right.
And
yeah, but it's wonderful because I think the three of us are very cognizant of the fact that you and Mr. Cologne are in a different business. So you lend your expertise to us, and we are trying to assist you with this one. So it's a really nice discussion because I bet you a lot of people, even in the district, learn a lot of stuff too. So that's yes. Cool. But thank you.
And thank you for allowing me to do that. And also, many of the questions were already answered to me in an email, but I do think it's important, as you pointed out, for our community to know that we've actually looked at the consent agenda and we read it.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. So then we're moving on to item 17.01, announcements by our superintendent, Ms. Hayes.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Haynes. I have two announcements. The first is Monday, July 4th. That will be a mandatory closed day for our 12-month staff. All school and district offices will be closed. The remaining days of the week will be the 10-hour work days. Also, our next regular school board meeting is not until Tuesday, July the 26th, 2022, at 4:30 p.m. in this boardroom. It will be Dr. Balgobin's first board meeting.
Yes, and we're happy. So at this time, we're going to take a break. We will resume at 6:35, and that gives Ms. Doster time to set up for the presentation. Thank you. Because he's not feeling well. So at this point in time, we're ready to move on to the presentation on the Central Halifax Rezoning, item 19.01. We have Ms. Stephanie Doster and Mr. Steve Group. You may begin. Are we ready? Thank you.
Thank you, board members and Superintendent Hazel. This is a project that was brought to us by the board and the superintendent some time ago, and now we are ready to kick it off and start moving. We're really excited to get started. This is part of our strategic plan goal 4 for operations, but it also bleeds into our community engagement and communications. So, as I said, this is something we started some time ago as a goal for students in the Central Halifax 32114 zip code area to come home to schools that are in their neighborhoods, to stop riding buses for 40 minutes each direction, and to really recreate that community, family, school engagement partnership. So moving forward, we evaluated where these students would be located if they were brought back to the 32114 Central Halifax area. And so today we're going to kind of go over a plan that we have put together for recommendation to bring those students closer to home. We've come up with three schools that are within the area. We've got Westside Elementary, which had a classroom addition, a cafeteria addition, just completed, and an admin suite just last year. Beachside Elementary, which is under construction, and we're hoping to be completed very soon. And then Turie T. Elementary, which is under design, as prompted pretty much by this project, to start this year and open in 2023-24. So this is what our current Central Halifax planning area looks like. We have about 12 school districts within a 2-mile radius. So the goal was, let's consolidate these students back to closer to home schools. This is kind of what that breakdown looks like. The schools, we've got about 630 students zoned in that area, and about 470, and this is as of our 40-day count this past year, 470 of them are being bused out of that area to schools from Ormond to Port Orange. So this is just to give you an idea of just the number of students that are living there just this year that are taking a long bus ride far from home.
So our recommended rezoning looks more like this. We're taking all of those colorful areas and consolidating it down to rezoning those students to Westside, Beachside, and Turie T. This is going to be a two-phase process. Beachside Elementary is opening soon, and Turie T will be opening at least a year later than that. So we've broken this into not wanting to wait and do it all at one time, but let's get those students as quickly as we can to these new locations. This is what it would look like for the new Beachside Elementary rezone. The lighter green in your top right is the current zone for Beachside. That's the consolidation of Osceola and Ortona. The darker green in the middle would be the new zone in the 32114 Central Halifax area that would be added to that zone. This is much closer than the Champion, Long Street, Ortona, Osceola, well, those students will say, pathways or pine trails that they're currently being bused to. There's about 246 students currently in that area that will be rezoned to Beachside. Once we open Turie T, a few of those students will be rezoned to Turie T because they're currently in the Beachside area. So we're looking at an ultimate utilization of the new Beachside Elementary to be about 90%. At 90% capacity, which is an ideal utilization. It gives space for growth and program changes. This is what our current west side and proposed west side would look like. The light purple, obviously, is our current west side zone, and the darker purple is our proposed. These students are coming from Champion and Pathways. Westside has a lot of growth in their area currently, so we did not propose to take a large number of students to Westside, even though they have some available space. You know, this area is growing. We've got a lot of apartment complexes going in, and we wanted to make sure that we were leaving space for future growth in that, that LPGA and Daytona area. This is the breakdown. Currently, there's about 65 students in that area, not quite as dense as the previous. This would bring Westside to about an 87% capacity. And again, we're looking at future growth possibilities at Westside. So, you know, we're keeping it realistic. The second phase of this rezone plan would be for Turie T Elementary. Turie T is, like I said, currently under design. We're getting ready to kick off our construction. Once we bring it to you guys a few more times, I think the end of the year, they should be starting construction. And once Turie T is completed, we can move those students in. So this area is just south of ISB, just to give you a reference line. ISB is the border there. The lighter blue is the existing zone. The darker blue would be the students that are currently living within that walk zone, rezoned to Turie T. Those students are currently going to Long Street, Spruce Creek, Sugar Mill, Sweetwater, Tomoka. So, yeah, this would definitely be a closer proximity, all still within the walk distance. And in that area, there's about 318 students currently. And this is just that nice breakdown. And ultimately, it will bring Turie T, which we're building to about 850 student stations, to under 90% capacity. Again, leaving space for growth, programming, and so moving forward, our plan for our first phase. You can see here we're in June. We're bringing this to you guys just to kind of keep you in the loop, so that we can continue to move forward with our community engagement. We've already had a couple of community meetings to kind of talk to some leaders. We'll be taking this to principals and the families once school starts, so that we are not confusing this process prior to school starting this year. Then we'll start putting out, you know, all the communications. We got a lot of really great ideas and feedback from our previous
community meetings to really get out on social media to reach out to these families and inform them about the changes and get as much feedback as we possibly can. And then we'll be bringing this back to you guys along the way as well. And then ultimately, our goal for phase one is that 23-24 school year rezone. And then we'll start all over again for phase two, which would be the 24-25 school year for Turie T. So, again, we've got ongoing community information meetings happening. We're bringing recommendations to the school board. And then we'll be meeting with the school staff that, I mean, we've already engaged some of those school staff that are going to be receiving students, but we'll also engage the schools that will be losing students to give them an idea of what their population will look like. Honestly, this will be a relief for many of those schools that are getting to capacity. So, you know, we're excited about those transitions because there is some growth in that Daytona area and in, you know, many of the other areas where this will be an alleviation for those schools. That's all I've got. If you guys have any questions, we're happy to answer.
Mrs. Burnett, you're listed first.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know you put a lot of time into this and you gave us a one-on-one overview, and so I appreciate that. You've made it easy to follow. One of the things that I think we talked about and when we discussed this one-on-one was, what is the travel time from the students that are still going to go from the small pod to the beachside and the small pod to Palm Terrace?
I would have to get with our transportation department to get more of an accurate route, but I think it would be more like less than 20 minutes.
Each way?
Yes.
Okay, one way.
Yeah. Some of those students currently are going 40 to 60 minutes one way. So it will definitely be an alleviation. But routing has not really been figured out for Beachside yet because they haven't plugged in where those students are coming from until we start having those registrations.
Okay.
So then they'll be able to calculate their bus route time.
And speaking of getting with transportation, when you talked to me last week, you mentioned that the transportation team was part of this conversation. So they were there at the seat of the table and had some input with their views of what they see to go on.
They really were one of our main goals since the inception of this was based on travel time. We had a couple of options that we presented to transportation in the routing department, and we said, which one of these works best for you? Because they all were good plans for us, for student, you know, you're calculating student numbers, trying to make sure that you're not overpopulating schools and trying to keep cohorts of students together that are currently traveling to another school so that they have a little bit of consistency at their new school. But transportation really was our number one goal, is to make sure that the routes were working for them. We know we have bus driver shortages, and routes are not always, you know, the easiest to to figure out in these dense areas with populations. So yes, we put many options before them and eliminated down to this one was the best option for routing.
Okay. And so if we're looking at best options for people, what did the community think about the map when you brought it towards the community meeting? How did they respond to this map?
We got good feedback. We've only had a couple of community meetings. Obviously, we wanted to bring this to you guys first, but we've had some very small community meetings leading up to this. And so far, we got good feedback, a lot of questions asked and clarification made so that they can also be partners in moving this forward with the overall community. Obviously, we will be receiving much more feedback, and we'll be reaching out with questionnaires and having in-person meetings, hopefully doing some stuff online so that we can reach as many people and get as much feedback as possible. But so far, it's been a positive feedback and a lot of just clarification of what this process looked like and our direction moving forward.
So this map is not completely solidified yet. It's the beginning point.
This is our recommendation, but obviously things could change. If there is you know, feedback that this is not the most ideal, and that there is a better plan. Of course, we take everything into consideration to ensure that, you know, we're serving this community best possible. Because when we're looking at this, when we're looking at rezoning, we're looking at major boundaries, like geographic boundaries. ISB was a big boundary for the beginning of this map. ISB in proximity to Turie T is within a walk zone, and beyond ISB is within a walk zone. So we really began saying, okay, well, it's not ideal to have students in a walk zone on the other side of a major thoroughfare. Obviously, we cannot avoid all thoroughfares, but that's a pretty big one. So we said, okay, let's start there and just kind of narrow it down. So if there are other, you know, if there's more input that can improve the process, or of course, we're open to.
With the community meetings that you've had so far, by chance, were the Daytona Beach City Council invited to that meeting?
We did not invite City Council, but we can, in the future, have meetings with whoever is interested in getting more information about this and giving feedback, absolutely.
Okay. That's a recommendation I would have, because I know that the mayor there is very concerned about the students in the 32114 area, and we want to make sure that we're representing everybody equally.
We did have one member from the city, Parks and Recreation Director, was there.
Okay. So,
you know, like I said, we were starting small.
Right.
We wanted to have, you know, more of a focus group to say, you know, This is what we're planning to propose. We want that one-on-one feedback for those that are really involved. So, of course, we will continue to have community meetings and council members for sure. Anyone else who's interested to give feedback and learn more.
Thank you. Just a couple more things. I brought this up to you at the meeting or in our meeting is. I would like to know what the community and the staff would think about also looking at the middle and the high school for rezoning. And I know it's a big project, but if we're actually truly looking at what's best for the students and getting them out of the islands, and if we're taking them from the islands from the elementary schools, we should also consider that for the middle and high schools. And I know that that's a bigger conversation, but I definitely think that that's one that we need to have. And then my other point, and this is more on the administrative staff, but when we do get this done, I think the biggest thing that we need to do is incentivize the staff to stay at these schools. And I think that that is something that the students need in these areas. They need stability, and we need to find a way to incentivize them to want to be at these schools. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mrs. Cuthbert.
A future question along the line of transportation. Will not sending all of these children to 12 different schools, will it save us any routes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we can look forward to having fewer routes and kind of relieving the transportation department of the number of bus drivers and routes and the double routes. Well, that's good news. Good. And second, and I'm sure you'll come up with more information later, at least the transportation department, would you go to page 9? In our one-to-one discussion, you and I talked about this page. Would you explain to everyone why the two greens are so separate and the two oranges have a piece of green and purple in between?
Sure.
And why aren't they all just all together?
So our current zone for Palm Terrace is in place. That is the orange-pink color that you're seeing there. Palm Terrace was not considered as a receiver school, so since that was taken off the table, we did not pull students out of that school, and we are not obviously putting students into that school. Their population is around 65% capacity of the school. So pulling students out of that school would bring them to, you know, a deficit low for our DOE standards for capacity at a school. So since we were not using Palm Terrace, we left it as is, and then worked with what was left. We worked with the areas in the green and the purple, which is West Side and Beachside, to try to make it as proximate as possible. Obviously, you can see West Side is actually touching the current zone and is a smaller population of students. And then Beachside, there are students currently in that area attending Beachside that will continue to attend Beachside. And then we just increased it, obviously, as I said before, using ISB as that boundary. And then we were just kind of working with the numbers of students. How many can we send to Beachside? How many can we send to Westside? I will say, you know, we're opening Turie T with an anticipated 85% capacity. There is room for future rezone or growth or changes if needed, or if students are looking to variance. There will be space in the future for Beachside and Turie T for variances if needed.
Okay, but what you had suggested, it depends upon density, and we're trying to keep neighborhoods together. So the kids who go to school together will play together in their neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Build stronger schools and stronger neighborhoods. And that's why this conversation started quite a few years ago, and Miss Ida Wright is the one who started all of this, and how important it was to strengthen our schools, and you strengthen schools by strengthening neighborhoods. And I'm very pleased that you've been able to come this far with this huge tackle of a job, that you were able to figure this out, especially serving the neighborhoods. And it's also lovely to have feedback from them, mm-hmm. community feedback, because we can never have enough community feedback. So thank
Agreed.
You. This is remarkable, because I thought, well, why not just flip the colors? And you told me it had to do with density mm-hmm. and keeping neighborhoods together, especially traditional neighborhoods who always went to the same school. And all of a sudden, they'd be yanked out of the school that they became so accustomed to, where their older brothers or sisters attended. And then now they're able to continue that line. But if they choose to go to Beachside, there's room for variance if mm-hmm. they so choose. So it's nice to have that kind of choice. So I thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
This West Side zone, the majority of those students currently all travel to Champion together. So it was important for us to try and keep some of those, keep those kids together. And as you said, you've got sisters and brothers and your community. And, if they've been, it's comforting to have what you know when you're going somewhere new. And we took that into consideration. We didn't want, everything to change. And then, the next year they're with no kids that they know, we were trying to be compassionate with that.
No, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Burnett.
Thank you. Ms. Cuthbert, you mentioned Mrs. Wright, and I did reach out to her because she did play a vital role in wanting this, and I wanted to make sure that her voice was heard, as well as I know she's a leader in the community, and I believe she attended the meeting. And so I wanted to make sure to get her input on this as well. And it is true. The kids need to be together. And especially when they get to that fourth and fifth grade age, you want them to be with kids that they're with and who they know, because the next years coming up are rough. Thank you.
Thank you. And as you know, when we talked, I'm happy that we're finally bringing the kids, or will be bringing the students back into the closest school for where they live, because we've been, picking up four off of this street and taking them clear to Pine Trail. And students shouldn't have to travel that far away from their home, because it made it very difficult for those parents then to participate in any of the activities at those schools that were 20, 30, and 40 minutes away. I too questioned what was happening there with the Palm Terrace piece, but that piece that's there, that is where the old Bonner Elementary was. And the agreement was made when we closed down Bonner Elementary, that we would move that entire community together and not separate them, and they all went to Palm Terrace. And so I understand the need to keep them together, although we're now crossing, we're still kind of doing what we were trying to get away from, because we're now crossing the beachside and the Palm Terrace section. But I think where we've made the greatest improvement is for our Turie T. kids, and also pulling in that piece to go back to Westside, and those kids are not being bused all the way out to Champion. And so I appreciate all the work you've done. I, too, agree with Mrs. Burnett. I think we should ask our Daytona City commissioners and the mayor and all of that to be at the next meeting, because that's also their areas and they know their communities. And they may be able to actually advertise it for us and get more participants to come and hear, because it's going to be a lot easier if we get the parents and the community members to come and up front give their input and feedback and be a part of the process than it will be if we just roll it out and say this is the way it's going to be. So I appreciate all that you've done. Are there any other questions? Thank you. We are now moving on to item 20.01, adoption of proposed amendments to School Board Policy 209, Education of Homeless Students, and I see Mr. Penley is on his way.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Board members, action item 20.01 requests the board's consideration of adoption of proposed amendments to policy 209, which is the board's education of homeless students policy. If you'll recall, this was brought for first reading at the May 10th meeting. We discussed the fact that this essentially restructures the policy and includes some definitional changes and substantive changes for enrollment and educational records brought about by revisions to state statutes and state rules. Those have been incorporated and articulated in this policy. It was properly advertised according to Chapter 120, Florida statutes. The period for advertisement has now expired, and this policy is ripe for the board's consideration and adoption tonight.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the changes to Policy 209, Education of Homeless Students?
Okay, since there's such a variety of participants here, Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Policy 209 as the amendments, and it's already been advertised at, with the amendments added.
Thank you, Mrs. Cuthbert. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Burnett. So Mrs. Cuthbert has made the motion that we will adopt Policy 209. Mrs. Burnett has seconded it. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Oh, actually, I didn't ask if there's any comments. Ms. Workman, was there any comments for this?
Excuse me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Penley.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask, would the two of you...
Madam Chair, I would like to consider before the board that we postpone 20.02 until we have a full board at the dais. Is that what you were going to ask?
I was actually going to ask, could we move 20.03 and do it first, because it's very simple.
But what about 20.02? Can we postpone that till next time? So we can have discussion among
my own.
We're missing two board members.
I know. We're missing two board members, and everybody does have the copies. My concern is with our – we were just going to select a tool, and my concern is that we'll – if we wait to select a tool until we meet again in July, then we won't be moving forward with any evaluation until August, and then we'll be out of compliance with our own policy.
I'm going to agree that that's my only consideration as well. If we're trying to set the example of following policy, we won't be following policy.
I was just trying to be considerate of the other two board
members. Understood.
And also, does the policy say this has to be done yearly?
Yes, it does. It says annually at the first July meeting.
Okay, so could we pause on that for a moment? And are you both okay to move on to 2.03 and go ahead and get the job descriptions out of the way? Okay, then we're going to move on to item 20.03, job descriptions. Mr. West.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. Board members, Superintendent Hazel, I'm bringing before you two job descriptions this evening, and the intent is actually to have an overall savings to the district. We are looking, we have a couple of vacancies due to transfers and resignations that are coming forward. One is a coordinator of early learning with over a VPK, and we are looking to actually trying to, downgrade that to a specialist position and bring before you a specialist job description tonight to take care of that position. And very similarly, the same thing with our risk and benefits management position that we currently have, which is a director position. We're actually looking to bring that forward as a specialist position also. So those are the two job descriptions that I'm bringing for you tonight, making the recommendations that you approve.
Mrs. Workman, is there any? All right, Mrs. Burnett or Mrs. Cuthbert, do you have anything you'd like to discuss or say?
No, Mr. West explained it very clearly in our one-to-one discussions, and he just, for the public, just explained the same thing that we heard. So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to restate it, if that's okay, just so that
yes, ma'am.
In case the public wasn't listening, we are looking at cost-saving factors, and we are taking what has been a coordinator position for early learning, and we are downgrading it to a specialist position because that position is currently going to have a new person in that position. And then we're taking the risk and benefits management position that was at a director level, and the individual there has resigned, and we're moving that down to a specialist level. So this is a cost savings, and this is part of what we've been asking I know I have, at the board level, is that we look at ways to save funds and or streamline positions so that we can put the money back at our school level. So I want to thank you. So if there's no additional discussion, do I have a motion to approve these two new job descriptions?
So moved.
I second.
Thank you. So Mrs. Burnett has approved the new job descriptions. Mrs. Cuthbert has seconded it. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. West.
All right, so for item 20.02, it's the school board attorney evaluation tool. And Ms. Bishop did reach out to Mrs. Messina, and she received, you know, lots of choices for us, and I was pleasantly surprised. So I've heard from you, Ms. Cuthbert, that you'd like for us to postpone this till our next meeting, which would put us into July, which, you know, is the concern about the I have the concern about the policies. So, Mrs. Burnett, how do you feel?
I mean, I agree. I think that if we're setting the precedence to ask everyone to follow policy, we need to follow policy. And I think the fairest for the attorney is to have an evaluation. So we need to set some kind of tool to do that evaluation.
So as long as you're happy with three people deciding it out of five.
I mean, I think the three of us can do that.
More to the girl power.
I agree. So everybody has the copies in front of them. And I'm hoping that all of you, you know, had a chance because they were loaded onto board docs to go through them. So would one of you like to – the easiest thing I think maybe for us to just say, like, this was the one that you know, I felt would be the simplest or the most aligned. There's never a perfect tool. We've known that doing superintendent, you know, evaluation tools and tweaking them. But would either one of you like to go ahead and recommend which one you felt could be like a starting point or you felt was a good evaluation tool to look at?
I'll start. Right. I liked the one from Palm Beach and Brevard. Now, I don't know if we want, I mean, obviously we can look at modifications too, but I know that they had, actually Lee County was good too.
Where's this one from?
That's the Palm Beach one, I believe.
And so, sorry, my board docs is, like, not reloading, and so I'm trying to look at it all
the
here.
The Brevard is the one with the bright, pretty colors.
Yep, Brevard.
Palm Beach is the one that is portrait, and up in the corner it's written Palm Beach.
Okay,
it should be under where it says Andrews.
And then here's Lee County.
Yes, that's what I was going to next. Yeah, and then Lee County is landscape, and it has some blue and yellow on it.
I mean, in all honesty, all of them had good attributes.
And they've got lots of choices for us to look at. So, Mrs. Cuthbert,
I'd also like to put Manatee County into the mix. And you said this one was?
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach. You know, I don't know much about the law. I mean, that's why we have a school board attorney. I don't know. So to make it nice and simple, I think, to go into depth. Now, if it's superintendent, I definitely understand. Have to go into depth. There's an awful lot of complication. But is it possible we can make it maybe one of these two shorter ones that are less complicated? I think of the four, Brevard County would be my least choice. It's too fancy. Even Lee County is a little. But I think you suggested Manatee and Palm Beach. Correct? You said that. You've told me two or three times. So one of those two. They're nice and simple. Because that's exactly what we expect of the school board attorney.
I'm sorry. Which was the first one you said, Ms. Cuthbert?
This one and Manatee.
Manatee.
They're both very simple.
Okay.
Simple, direct questions about how we receive information, how it's handled. The work performance. Remains. The one I really think is the most important is our school board attorney up to date with the current affairs? I have found that's what impresses me so much with Mr. Penley. Always currently up to date, knows his stuff. And may I ask a question of Mr. Doran? How many years have you served our district?
It's more than 20.
More than 20 years. So I would say that's an awful lot of experience he brings to the board. So I think expertise, experience, and up to date with things. And good sound legal advice.
So, my personal choices were actually Brevard and Lee, followed by Palm Beach. And I understand, I can understand, like, there's a few pages in Brevard, but I think part of the issue is it's actually the type I mean, it's the font size, okay? Because the font size is much larger in Brevard than when you look over at Palm Beach, where it's just very, you know, simple, single statements. What I liked about Brevard myself was that somewhat similar to even the other evaluations that we do for teachers and things like that, it really kind of spells out where, you know, are you, which Palm Beach did also because it has the 1 through 5 ranking piece, and it tells you, you know, up at the top what each one of the numbers means. But I don't know. I think part of it is, I think we just need to say, do we agree on whichever one, the statements that are made, or do we need a statement to come in from one of the other ones, or we wouldn't know how to evaluate, you know, that statement. That's what it came down to me, is would I have any evidence to be able to say I could evaluate that piece or that performance indicator? So, Mr. Doran, I'd like to ask, did you have a chance to look at them?
I did.
You have a favorite that you felt was more comprehensive or matched more of what your job duties are?
I don't think any of these match up to my position. I don't think any of these counties operate under the same hierarchy structure it has since its inception by the size of the county. There can be if a person were to sit down if I were to sit down with one of the board members, I could explain each of these different criteria for evaluation. Why, and I could explain why it does or doesn't apply. And I think that out of all of these, there's definitely one that could be created. But from what I saw, none of them, what I did for you. A lot of it's driven by the fact that, for instance, Brevard County, or of an evaluation that Mr. Penley did, is me. I don't do the things he does. Evaluation does is predominantly on the things that he does. Not exclusively. My mind, the only one that would make sense would be one that would have to be assimilated by pulling out the things I do, areas I'm responsible for, document that encompassed those areas.
Thank you. And I think what happens is, here we are again at a point where this has been brought up now several times for several months so that we could actually get to a point to work and have a document, and we're down at the 9th hour and it's finally on the agenda for us to talk about. Because we have in minutes for several months now where myself and Mrs. Burnett have brought up, when we learned that this is what other districts were doing and came across the policy for it, we've been trying to move towards this to have it so that we could be in compliance. Yes.
Pull your microphone down.
As far as I know, and I know pretty well, the school board attorney in Volusia County has never been evaluated in 50 years, ever. So I don't know the exact language in the policy. I don't think it says, uses the word evaluation, but if I had the policy, I could look at it. But I, you know, if we're talking about out of compliance, this has never, ever happened. Dick Graham was the attorney before me. He was never evaluated once in writing. And he was the school board attorney for about 20 years before me. I've been the school board attorney for 20 years. So I don't know. I mean, you all can do whatever you want. I'm not concerned about an evaluation. I want to know what the criteria are in advance. I think that you ought to be asking, somebody needs to be asking what the financial impact of the evaluation will be. Because I can tell you that a lot of these criteria that I see here, I don't spend time on them, and you don't pay me. And if you tell me this is what you're going to evaluate me on, I'm going to do everything A+. There won't be one category that you will be able to say I did not complete with 100%. There's going to be a financial consequence to that, though, because I just don't do a lot of this stuff. But if you tell me I need to, I will. Absolutely. I'll do anything you tell me. For 20 years, I've done anything and everything that any board's ever asked me to do. So whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it.
Thank you. As I said in January, or it may have been December, we went to the Florida School Board Association training the end of November 1st to December, and because Mr. Colon had moved into the chair position, and I was staying as the vice chair because the year before, because of COVID, you know, trainings did not happen. We were sitting in that training, and that's when this was one of the topics that was covered. And that's why when I came back, I kind of asked, because Mrs. Cuthbert has been chair twice, and Mr. Persis had already been chair, you know, how come this had never been a discussion? And, you know, I'll apologize that I didn't know anything about it until I sat in that room, and it was shared with all of us that that is what other districts did, and other districts said that they're doing this, you know, yearly. I mean, it made sense to me, you know, that something would be done, and you know, it makes sense that it hasn't been done, I guess. So, Mrs. Cuthbert, yes.
Well, to be fair, like we do our staff, especially our instructional staff, and our contract with our superintendent, they know ahead of time what they're supposed to be, their job fulfillment is. So to be fair to all of our employees, and Mr. Doran is an employee of Volusia County Schools, he did make a good point that he needs to know what his duties are specifically. And I think that's what maybe we can do in the next month. I mean, if we haven't done this in 20 years, I think this... 40 years, I think we can wait another couple of months. So we can individually work with him to create a tool that's more accurate and then have that year go by and then evaluate him before and have everything set up. We have evidence and we know ahead of time what we're looking for as well. Now, I won't be here at that time, of course, but we also have to think about the new people on the board. So we're going to have at least one new board member. So it's incumbent on our new board members to know how their relationship is going to be with the school board attorney as well. So that's why I think we need more input between our two absent members for good cause, but also time for us to discuss or talk with Mr. Doran in order to find out what is it that we would like for him. Personally, I like it when he saves us money, when he saves the school district money, whether we're sued, whether it's programs coming in that just have no business being in Volusia County Schools. I've called him early in the morning, thought he was an early riser. He answered the phone, but he's not an early riser. So, I mean, I called him at 6:30 in the morning, and I apologized profusely. So, being an educator, I was in the classroom at 7:30. He doesn't have to be in the office till 9, so I'm not used to a 9-to-5 person. So I and then plus we need to individually talk to him on a one-to-one, heart-to-heart, and say, this is what I see that we love. This is what I see that we can improve on. And how can we be better served? And then how can he serve us and how we can serve him? Because it's a two-way street. When you have a relationship, it takes two. Or in this case, five and one, one to five for it to work. But I really, really would love our other two board members to be part of this too.
Thank you. Mrs. Burnett.
Thank you. So you mentioned that we haven't done this in 40 years, and while I appreciate that, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I didn't say anything.
No, I know. Say what? I'm just making my statements.
Yeah.
And so I think every day is a day for an opportunity for improvement. And in the policy 103, it says, that the retention of the school board attorney shall be placed on the agenda at the first meeting in July each year. Doesn't say anything about an evaluation. We were doing the evaluation because that's the fair process. So that's where I stand with that. I understand your point, Mrs. Cuthbert, with wanting everybody else's input, but it's going to be on the agenda in July. It says so in the policy. So I think we need to do what's fair by the attorney and somehow come up with a tool to manage that. And to your point, Mr. Dorn, I don't know that anybody's wanting to give you any extra work. That's not the point. I think it's the point of what your role is, and we should be able to give you an evaluation just as we do the superintendent or the superintendent does for teachers. And that's where I stand on that.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
I'm just. Then how does he know what he's supposed to do if we don't? I mean, if we evaluate him, so we're creating a tool, correct? Mm-hmm. We're not doing an evaluation of him. We're just creating a tool, correct?
We're going to create a tool and do what the policy says.
Okay, so we're going to have not an evaluation, but what was the word? What was the verb?
The policy is written stating the retention of the school board attorney shall be placed on the agenda at the first meeting in July each year.
So what we're really going to discuss is whether we're going to retain him or not.
That's what the policy says, yes.
Well, no, you're not, because I have a contract. That's not an issue. First,
so how did we get out of how did we break the policy with that contract?
I don't know. I had a 5-year contract before this one. I've got a 3-year contract now, and the one before that, I think, don't quote me, was 3 years. I've never, in 20 years, nobody's ever put anything on the agenda the first week of July.
I guess nobody's been following the policy.
That
was effective November 11th, 2003.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just never been an issue.
I'm here to set policy.
If you're creating a document and saying we're going to do this in 3 days from now.
Well, our first meeting is only, there's only one in July, and it's July 28th or 6th. Okay.
So there's a violation of the policy?
No, it says at the first meeting in July of each year.
The first week.
Yeah.
Well, either way,
I mean, to me, that right there says that the contract should only be 1 year.
Well, the next one, I guess you can do that.
So my question is this. I know that currently you're under a 3-year that was voted on last June at the last meeting in June. And prior to that, you said it was a 5-year. Since you took this position, at any time were you on an annual contract, or how long was the first contract that you were under?
I'm sure the very first year it was 1 year, but I don't know without. I can get you that information. I just don't know.
Okay.
Without going back, and I think I could recreate that information. I mean, there were very open and public discussions about, for instance, the 5-year contract, and there were concessions on my part in return for it. and I publicly stated at the time that the that it was more important to me to have stability for my practice, knowing that a lot of people are like family to me that have been with me for 20 years. It was more important to me to know that stability existed, i.e. the 5 years, than it was to increase my rate of pay. So there was no increase in my pay for 12 years. None. Not a penny. And those were the trade-offs that were taking place, both in my mind and also in the public discussion. I mean, I don't know what I would do what I would have done retroactively, but you know, I don't think I'd have the same rate of pay today if I had been provided only a 1-year contract. That was the board liked the idea that I would not get any pay increases. They were very happy to give me a 5-year contract in return for that. So, but that's where we are.
So our process that we went through to update and agree upon an evaluation tool for the superintendent had each of us submitting what we felt was important or how it should be laid out, how each category should be weighted or not weighted or whatever. And we submitted those. And at that time, because it was for the superintendent, we submitted that information to Mr. Doran and then Mrs. Cuthbert, who was chair at the time, and Ms. Hazel. The three of them met, and they worked together on taking what we had all given as input in order to solidify a document that then was brought forward to all of us so that we could see the final product and outcome and come to an agreement so that we could vote on the document. Since this is never, it appears it's never been done here in Volusia County, I'm trying to figure out how each of us can give input so that we can come to an agreement. And Mrs. Cuthbert, and I hear you because two people are not here. So I'm trying to figure out how everybody can have an opportunity to submit their input or feedback or what they would like to see in a document so that then, and who would that go to? Who would look it over? You know, who would agree? I mean, if we kind of think about the process that we followed for the superintendent, I would think that Mr. Colon, as the chair, would meet. But who is he going to meet with? You know, I think having, you know, I liked, and I know that you're not in that job role now, but I appreciated when Ms. Hazel went with you, Mrs. Cuthbert. Mm-hmm. I think it worked well.
Yes, it did.
That the two of you could, you know, you had each other to talk it through, and then...
Yes, because we had district representation, board representation, and then school board attorney, legal advice.
Right.
So I strongly suggest, I would like, I mean, since all this is, we're on an equal basis here, we have a full month before we meet again in July. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all meet with him individually through the month of July and to come up maybe by July 20th, 21st, submit our questions maybe to someone that you thought we should submit it to, and then combine it together, get his approval, so when we come back in July, he knows exactly, he's had input to what he's supposed to do, we have input, what we expect him to do, and we can come up with, by that first meeting in July, we're all here, and then say, we can base our recommendation for retainment on that date. We can do it all at one time. But...
I think that the way we do the superintendents, as you pointed out, to get this evaluation instrument was for the chair and the superintendent and me to sit down, and the chair essentially was the only person in the room making decisions about that. You follow me? In other words, the superintendent could say, you know, I like that, I don't like that, whatever. But in the end, it was only the chairman. I wasn't telling them what to do, ever. All I was doing was facilitating.
So wait a minute. So this last time, I thought it was Ms. Cuthbert, Ms. Hazel, and you. I didn't think the superintendent.
Oh. He wasn't there. I represented him.
Oh, well, you were the designee for the superintendent.
I was the district person.
Okay, so it wasn't this. I don't remember. Okay, who personally? But why was she there other than as the representative of the superintendent?
Yes. I recall being asked by the board to be there just because of my role in HR, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't nearly on the level of a superintendent. I mean, I understand you want to do it, and it's no problem. I would suggest that I facilitate whatever Mr. Colon decides. We can take all these, we can sit down, he can ask me questions, he can make all the decisions. I'll put together whatever he says he wants put together, and he can bring it back and present it to you. I mean, it's no different, really, in the end. The only reason I was there with the superintendent's evaluation was to facilitate. I can do the same thing. I mean, it's ministerial. Whatever he says, put this in, I put it in. And... you know, and that would be it. I don't think the superintendent plays a role. In other words, Dr. Balgobin or her designee, I don't think they play a role in this. So I don't know that I don't see what value they would bring to even be in attendance. It's just going to really boil down to the five of you. And the only way to really facilitate this in a smooth way is to get one of you, as we have always done, to go through and learn about it, understand it, make decisions, come back with something, and then the five of you modify it, as we have done, you know, but giving you a starting place. So, you know, just I can get with Mr. Colon and I can explain to him why some of these categories don't apply. When he brings the instrument back, if you have questions, I can explain them to you. If you think, well, why isn't that in there? Well, I can explain it to you.
Mrs. Cuthbert.
I would like that feedback before we come back to the meeting, so we have time to think about it and at least tell him what we... We can't talk to Mr. Colon because that violates
right.
The law. We need someone to facilitate for us.
I mean, in the end... Sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Mr.
Dorn. I mean, in the end, what I do for you is extraordinarily narrow. I mean, I'm going to go back and pull this last year's billings and pull out all the issues that I billed for. And it's going to be... redistricting, which comes up once every 10 years, just happens to have been this past year. It's going to be negotiating the departure of a superintendent who was terminated, which has happened more frequently than normal. But as we said, Dr. Smith served for 11 or 12 years, whatever, I forget what she said.
11.
She served for 11 years. I didn't have anything to do, you know, to work with Dr. Smith. We did, you know, we did do addendums to her contract, you know, mostly about pay. But, you know, beyond that, the times that I'm representing you are instances where there's a direct conflict with the district, such as charter schools. So charter school application comes in, and the way the quasi-judicial proceeding works is the district is a party. The same thing with negotiations, as you've seen, you know, where we have impasse hearing. The district is out there doing their thing. Whoever, charter school applicant or union organization, is doing their thing. And I'm helping you, representing you, and providing you advice on how to navigate through that process. You know, again, it happens, but it doesn't happen all that frequently. So I guess that would be another thing. If I pull a year, I'll see that part of the billing would be for the union negotiations or the impasse hearing. Beyond that, I'm just answering your questions, if you have them. And, you know, a lot of time goes by. There's no question. Or there's been many times when the superintendent has pulled me in and asked me to serve in the capacity of representing the board on issues when the superintendent was, you know, trying to deal with something. I'd have to think about it to give you an example of that, but it pretty much ends there. So, you know, because Mr. Penley does all the day-to-day stuff. I don't do any of the day-to-day stuff. And you don't get billed for me doing any of the day-to-day stuff.
So where we're at is we want to submit questions, have you review them with Mr. Colon as the chairman, and then come back with a tool that's built from that we can use for July. Is that what I understand? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like to have some so who are we going to submit our questions to that we want to see on the evaluation?
Well, submit them to me. I mean, well, you can submit them to him, mm-hmm. I guess, or submit them to me and I'll present them to him. It doesn't matter who the person is that receives them. This will be driven, as it is with the superintendent, it's driven by one person. That's the chairman of the school board, you know, the evaluation for the superintendent. Superintendent may attend or his designee may attend. They have input, as they should, you know. I mean, it's just to provide, you know, to make sure people understand, et cetera, and we do it right. I'm there only as a scrivener, mostly, you know, making sure that I'm gathering all the information and then producing a document. I can do that on my own evaluation as far as it's ministerial. I'm not exercising any judgment on it, just as I didn't with the superintendent, just as the superintendent didn't exercise any judgment. He just gave input on, you know, data and that kind of stuff. I think, in fact, as I recall, the reason Ms. Hazel was there was because we were looking at very specific criteria upon which to judge him by, and she knew all that information. And so that was helpful to the then chairman to know how to create that evaluation item.
May I say something?
Oh, sure.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
So thinking about this and thinking about, you know, how to put it together and, you know, as you said, just like the ministerial part or, you know, putting it together. I brought up the fact that we each submitted our information of what we felt and strongly about for the superintendent's evaluation, and then the three of you didn't meet, okay? So, first of all, let's talk about who could we submit the information to. I think, actually, we could submit the information to Karen Bishop.
Yes.
Because she works as our administrative assistant. So, my first thought is we each submit to Karen the information. I also actually think, you know, the job role that Karen has played for many years, you know, she's an executive secretary, and I actually think she could be the one that puts it together. Not that she's saying, you know, I agree with what Ms. Haynes has, you know, wants in it, or I disagree, like, not that, but she could actually, I believe, put the document together, because that's what she does for us right now. Like, she puts documents and things together and gets us copies and all of that. That's part of her job role. So my thought is if we submit it all to her and we are in agreement that the chair, which is Mr. Colon, would be the person going through all of it, you know, hearing what each of us, you know, thinks is a part or not, I think
you know, I do think we're going to have Mr. Doran, you know, be clear on that is a duty or that's not a duty, in the event that we put something in that we see it, like we're going to evaluate him on something that he's not doing. I'm not for evaluating someone on something they're not doing, and I'm not looking at increasing the cost of what he is doing. Ms. Hazel, I have a question for you. Act as superintendent for at least 2 more days or 3 more days or whatever. Since Mr. Penley is the other attorney, and as Mr. Doran has pointed out, Mr. Penley handles a lot of the things that he feels are in these documents. That's Mr. Penley's job, not his job. What if each of us submitted to Karen our original thoughts? Would you be willing to allow Mr. Penley as a starting point to meet with Mr. Cologne and Karen? Because Mr. Penley could say, no, that's not, he could be a good sounding board to say, that's my responsibility. Like, you should not evaluate Mr. Doran on that because that's my responsibility. Because he knows all of the things he does and he works with Mr. Doran, you know, because he gives you cases to see and you give him back information. What if we started there? As a starting point to put the document together. Would you be willing and open to that, and how does everyone else feel about that? Ms. Cuthbert.
I think we have to ask Mr. Penley's permission first. We need to ask Karen's permission first. I think they're both here. I was going to suggest Ms. Bishop for her trustworthiness and her... she is our teammate. I think that's a great idea. I do not think we should submit anything directly to Mr. Cologne. I'm not going to go there for transparency and not violating any sunshine laws. We should not submit anything to Mr. Doran either. I think that would be a little inappropriate at this time. So Karen, definitely. And then a short meeting that, you know, Karen can put this under his nose, because we all know he's very, very busy. It's a busy time right now. And he can say, yes, no, yes, no, I do this, I do this, or put a P or a D next to each one. So, but then I would like to see what then Ms. Bishop puts together before we come back here so we can all study it. And if we have questions or anything, who do we contact?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. I love what you've laid out, and I think that if... okay, hold on just a second. So I think that then if we send everything to Karen, none of us are in trouble.
Right.
Like, it's all going to her. Right. She then has all of the... what everybody has submitted, and, you know, if Mr. Penley was in agreement, Ms. Hazel's in agreement, if Karen and...
you do then.
Why?
Because it's not Mr. Penley's decision. He works for Dr. Balgobin in 72 hours. It's her decision. And I'm going to save him from the embarrassment of having to explain that to you. He doesn't have a say. You need to ask Dr. Balgobin. She's going to be here in 72 hours. And, you know, if she wants that to happen, then I'm not saying there's a problem with it. But it's not his decision to make. She may not want him involved. It's the board reaching in, you know, about...
Well, the thought was that he could say, that's my... because you, what you brought up is that you felt on most of these documents, the things that are on these documents are not your job role or responsibility, that they are his job role and responsibility. So it appears that, depending on which county it is, the board attorney may have more roles and responsibilities in some counties. Because that's what this appears to us, is that there are school board attorneys out there, since this is all the choices that we had sent, and it's a wide variety. I mean, it's a good variety. I mean, it's not like we only got 2 copies. It appears that other school boards attorneys are handling more things. So for us to sit here tonight and say, you know, I can read it, but then I'm going to have to look at both of you to say whose job role is it? So I was just trying to say, if we send it all to Karen, and, you know, even if it's Karen and Mr. Cologne, And if Dr. Balgobin, since you don't feel that Ms. Hazel can give us permission, would say Mr. Penley could sit down with them and, you know, anything we said in there that he says, no, that's my job, responsibility, just, I mean, he's not making a judgment on what your evaluation is going to be. He's just saying take those items out of there. Then what's left, we could then, I think, have Karen put it together and submit it to Mr. Doran for him to review it. I would have no problem with your feedback then on the document, and then that document come to from Karen to each of us so that we could see, okay, we know what we submitted, this is what they're down to, here's what the fee, you know, these things were removed because they're seen as Mr. Penley's job, here's Mr. Doran's feedback, and then my thought is, if you're happy with it, you send to Karen, you're good. If you're not happy with it, you send something in and maybe Ruben do one final meeting, you know, with Karen, with what the feedback we've given, and then they send us a completed document. What do you think, Mrs. Cuthbert?
I think that's a good idea. We need to be transparent. We need to have input. That way, both of our two absent members have input. Mr. Colon, as chair, then can discuss it openly as our representative with Mr. DeLone, Mr. Doran. Dorian, listen to me. I've just promoted you to a car. It's Mr. Doran. So, and that way it's done correctly with the right procedure. And we need to keep track of that procedure so it becomes procedure the following year, the year after. Then plus it gives us opportunity for input. And that way, and that's why I said a P or a D next to it. There's no judgment in there. It's just We need to clarify what the job roles are. So, but yes, Bishop is in agreement.
It's no different.
We just need to put in a timeline.
Yeah, it's no different than, you know, when we look at the teacher evaluation tool. Uh-huh. They have tweaked it because of, like, say, an academic coach. They're still a teacher, but there are some duties that they're not responsible for because they're not physically in a classroom, you know. And so we're just trying to figure out what are Mr. Doran's responsibilities, since he's saying quite a bit of this is not, versus what are Mr. Penley's responsibilities. Because I, even, you know, when I was doing evaluations on teachers or coaches or technical people, I want the evaluation tool to match as closely as possible as to what their what the expectations are and what their job responsibilities are. I mean, the worst thing you can do is mark no on something, and you're marking no because that's not even a part of that person's job role. Okay.
We just need to set up a timeline.
Right. And so on that fact, you know, had we in January agreed to start this, as I said, we wouldn't be here right now. At the final hour, and we've brought this up many times. I said at the last meeting, it was in the two sets of minutes we voted on for the two meetings, the last meeting in April and the first meeting in May. So I think we do need to create a timeline, and I do think that moving forward, I mean, we're in a crunch time right now, but moving forward, you know, the timeline maybe for looking at it for change, like if it needs to be tweaked for next year, the tool, I really think that should be like a January, February, you know, timeline.
And that's, and pardon me for interrupting, Madam Chair, but it also gives due respect to the new board member,
mm-hmm.
member or members on the board.
Absolutely. That's why I wouldn't tweak it prior to that. That's why I'm saying allow them to be seated, and then that would give them time, you know, to say, how did the evaluation look and work last year? You know, did it really capture what it should have captured? Were there, you know, and that type of thing. So let me, all right, Mrs. Burnett, you had.
I was actually going to reiterate what you said with the evaluation and just getting input from Mr. Penley as far as, no, that's my job. He's not evaluating you, Mr. Doran. It's just for him to say, nope, not my job.
Can I comment? I don't disagree with that at all. That wasn't my point. It sounds like it was misunderstood. There are only two people probably in the district that really know what I do and what Mr. Penley does, me and him. And I'm not suggesting that he doesn't know and can't contribute. What I am suggesting is, as we've spoken about many times, the board cannot invade the purview of a superintendent. So I'm just pointing out, you can't ask Mr. Penley whether he's willing to do it. He works for a superintendent. And I'm not suggesting that Rachel Hazel cannot, right as she sits here, she has every bit of power to commit him to that. But I would also point out, in 72 hours, there's going to be a different superintendent, and I don't know how she feels about this, and she's the one that's going to be around during all this. That's up to you all. If Rachel Hazel wants to stick her neck out on it, maybe she calls it right, maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I'm just pointing out, in deference to somebody that's going to be here in 72 hours, that's the only person that's going to have the power to make this decision about that part of the procedure.
Well, I suggest we go ahead and move forward with dates
for
when we can do this.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion for the first one?
Yes.
We all have to remember that this is the time for holidays. It's time for vacations. But we have to do our part. So we have to get this done quickly. I'm thinking, this Friday is the 1st. I'm thinking maybe the 7th we have. That gives us a week and a day or two to get our questions submitted to Ms. Bishop. Now, I don't know what her vacation plans are, but if we're not doing the right time, but I'm thinking the 7th and then maybe the 14th, 1 week for it to go under, and I don't know vacation times for anybody else. Put an a PRD, we'll do the P&D, like PB&J, but P&D treatment, and have that done by either the 13th or 14th. So we can get it no later than the 22nd, Friday the 22nd, for us to have a weekend before our meeting on the 26th.
Okay, so we're not going to do the 22nd because that is a Friday, and they're not work. No one's working on Fridays because they're on 10-hour days.
21st.
So it'd have to be no later than the 21st.
So 7/14/21.
Okay, so yes, officially, Dr. Balgobin is supposed to start on July 1st, but July 1st is a Friday, and it's a non-work day. So she actually will not be reporting to work until Tuesday, July 5th, because the 4th is a holiday. Ms. Hazel, I don't want to put you in any predicament that you would feel that we shouldn't put you in. Do you have any input you'd like to say?
No, I think that... I can speak for, I'm assuming this would take place after Dr. Balgobin is in the role of the superintendent. She is very supportive of the board, so I don't believe it would be.
One piece of advice. Tell them that you're not going to make the decision until tomorrow when you've talked to Dr. Balgobin and gotten her input, and then you can't go wrong.
I will absolutely reach out to her. I know she may be unavailable at this time, but I will reach out to her.
I think that's the best way.
All right, let's look at, so here's where we're at right now. And I think we actually, unless somebody tells me differently, I think we can ask Mrs. Bishop, you know, to assist with this. I mean, we ask her to assist
that's
with things, you know, all the time. All right, so, Ms. Cuthbert, I'm okay with your dates because Mr. Persis is sick right now. Mr. Cologne is dealing with...
That's why I made ours a little bit longer.
...his mother. So I'm actually okay that by July 7th, we each submit to Mrs. Bishop what we want. And it could simply be... She actually just sent me a message and said she's fine and she's not taking leave.
Okay.
Through an email that just popped up on my computer, so we're okay. What I'd like to ask is, this is my thought on it.
you know, just read through these. Fine, like, even if there's only two pieces, you know, out of this one, there's two statements here that you feel capture it. It's kind of like how I tackled the superintendent one. I just basically just started typing my own document. Was it in, you know, just kind of in a chart myself? And that's what I submitted to them. Because I just took pieces and parts from what we had and things that I thought should be added. Is everybody okay with that? Like,
yes.
You just put down what you think. Ms. Bishop gets it all by July 7th. I'd like to say no later than noon on July 7th. Is everybody okay?
Noon on each and every one of them.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
That way it's current, we all remember.
So noon on July 7th, and then you will have already checked with Dr. Balgobin, and if she agrees that Mr. Cologne, Mrs. Bishop, and Mr. Penley could just sit down so that he could identify if we've put something. I mean, I don't know that we'll necessarily put something in there that's, you know, not Mr. Doran's job, but we could, and Mr. Penley would say, nope, that's my job, and that's all he's saying. He's not saying what should or shouldn't be in there. He's just identifying if that is what something Mr. Doran does or not. And then they type it up. I actually think if they got it ready, maybe we could get it a little earlier than the 21st.
Well, that's just the final time.
Yeah.
If we get it done earlier, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I just thought.
But yeah, have the final copy in our hands.
Everybody knows exactly.
By the 21st, so that we are. We bring it in with us on the 26th. Are you okay with that, Mrs. Burnett?
Yes.
Mrs. Cuthbert?
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Doran?
Just by way of explanation, it may help
Microphone.
You. By way of explanation, it may help you when you start to look at the various criteria. The reason that I started my answer by saying none of this applies is that you have, very obviously, you have very small school districts and you have very large school districts. Very small school districts have one attorney, part-time, that does everything from beginning to end. Very large districts like Dade County, probably Brevard, I don't know specifically, but, you know, Broward, these bigger districts, I mean, they have 10 or 12 lawyers in their legal department. So when you look at these various, you know, evaluations, just be thinking about, you know, for instance, Manatee, I can assure you, because it's so small, it has one person that is serving in every capacity. And that's why their evaluation would be written that way. We're in the middle. We're like not all that big, but not all that small, just right. And so that's why we've had the structure we've had for, as far as I know, at least 40 years, probably longer. And that's the difference that you're going to find in these various evaluation instruments.
And I hear you on that, but like I'm holding Polk County right now in my hand, and if I look at, say, just standard two, which is commitment, collegiality, and initiative, and like 2.1 is interactions with stakeholders aligned with the vision and goals of the district. I would think that any interactions you would have with stakeholders meaning board
definitely
members,
applies.
You know, Mrs. Bishop, even the superintendent, that yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are things here that I think, like I said, we can pull out. And there's going to be stuff that doesn't, because it is true. You know, some counties are smaller. But we have a good representation of larger counties here, too, because we even have Orange County. So I feel like I think we can do this.
Oh, yeah. It definitely can be done.
We're intelligent individuals. We put together the superintendent one, which had to be a lot more comprehensive because there are so many areas, and it had to match the strategic plan, that I think we can do this. So,
agreed.
I think where we're at tonight, and I'm just going to restate it to make sure I have it correct. By noon on July 7th, each of us will have submitted, and that means you can do it prior to noon on July 7th, you will have submitted to Ms. Karen Bishop the statements, phrases, goal, however you want to word it, that you want to see included in the evaluation tool for Mr. Doran. Then, if we have Dr. Balgobin's permission, Mr. Penley, did you want to say something? Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize because I should have asked you before I was reiterating all that.
Hello, Mr. Penley. Volunteer to come up here ever.
I know.
I just wanted to, one, I will not be available after the 14th. So anything that you need me to do, that the superintendent directs me to do, I just need to have that time frame. But Mr. Doran made the point that I would counsel the board if asked. It's not a mistake that Ms. Messina sent you three things from Clay County in that group. That is the only model that is similar to the model that you have with outside counsel serving as your board attorney. He is not an employee. He's an independent contractor that provides services on an hourly rate. That's a different kind of analysis than when you have a school board attorney that is your employee. All of the other districts that are represented there, Palm Beach, Broward, Brevard, Manatee may be the only other one that uses a similar outside counsel model. But all of those other individuals are employees of the board. So that's a different kind of analysis. I would strongly encourage you to look at the Clay County rubric because that is the closest to what you have currently.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate the time that you took the time to look at them and point out to us the one that you felt.
I happen to know those lawyers, and they do function differently with a for example, Palm Beach has five attorneys in their in-house department. The school board attorney represents the board. Then they have what they sometimes refer to as staff counsel. That's the model that Lee County has used for years. The school board attorney is the consultant for the board members, and they erect a screen within the office for administrative lawyers to deal with the administrator. So there's a component of supervising, a component of day-to-day operational things that Mr. Doran's not responsible for. Those are the sorts of things that I do in my office.
Okay. Thank you.
But the 14th, I won't be available after that, so until we come back on the 23rd.
Okay, so thank you. So looking at that then, I'm still good with by July 7th at noon, we have everything submitted to Mrs. Bishop. Maybe what we could do is see if the meeting, if we're given permission by Dr. Balgobin, that the meeting with Mr. Colon and Mr. Penley and Ms. Bishop maybe take place like on the 12th or something. Is everybody okay with that? Because that would meet.
Right. It would have to, because then it's due to us. So then Ms. Bishop has to rearrange it or set it up and sent to us by the 14th. So,
yeah. False. Yes. Okay. All right. So, Ms. Hazel, will you please ask Dr. Balgobin when you're able to reach her if we have permission to do that? And she can send us an email if we have permission, correct, Mr. Doran? I mean, it's not a problem.
It's not going to be her decision until July 1st, and the decision is going to be made before that. I'm just suggesting it might not be a bad idea, given the fact that she's going to have to live with the decision, that the sitting superintendent ask her opinion, right? I mean, for everybody's sake.
Yeah, no problem.
No, that's all.
Okay, so July 7th by noon, all of us submit. As we've heard from Mr. Penley, Clay County may be the ones we want to look at because they have a similar situation to what we have. I'm not saying that you can't look at something else, because even though we have a similar situation, there may be another part, like I just pointed out, and that was Polk County, that you know, I think that Section 2 has some things that do match, you know, even though Mr. Doran is not on staff. He's outside counsel. So we submit it. We're looking at, if we can, possibly July 12th, Mr. Cologne, Mr. Penley, and Ms. Bishop could have a meeting, just because Ms. Bishop's going to capture the information. And then maybe by July 14th, that can be back out to us, so that if we have a chance to review it, anything we want to say, we could send back to Ms. Bishop, and then she could share that with Mr. Cologne, because that would not be, you know, out of line. And then no later than noon on July 21st, we will have the final document in our hands, and we will all come to the meeting on July 26th, which means this needs to go on the agenda for July 26th. We will bring our document. Completed document. Is everyone good with that?
Fair.
Is there any comment? Since this was something we were going to vote on. Ms. Elizabeth Albert.
You broke the precedent. Oh, wow, wow.
Good evening, Superintendent Hazel, Vice Chair Haynes, members of the board, members of the audience. So I want to start by saying accountability is for everyone. I'm very amazed and disturbed when I hear responses to questions that include, I don't know the language in the policy, I don't have the policy, and refer to advice provided at impasse hearings. I'll tell you, I sat at this very desk and pushed back on some incorrect, flawed advice that the board received as a result of the impasse that we had the last time when we were trying to finalize the final order. The advice you get always needs to be checked. I want to ask you, who gets to select their own evaluation tool? The employees in this district, the other employees, certainly don't get to select their own evaluation tool. Input is provided, but I'll remind you that the final decision is always made by the superintendent. And let's talk about an evaluation. Why don't we? If an evaluation has been not done in 4 decades, wouldn't you think it's about time? And who else in this district is measured by that same standard? Do we think that that's appropriate? I don't. When I hear comments made like, I'm going to do an A-plus job, I'm led to wonder, well, what kind of a job is happening right now? When we talk about a financial consequence to actually doing an A-plus job, that sounds to me like a threat. And it encourages me to perhaps put in a public request, public information request, to find out about billable hours, because now I'm really curious. So when we talk about doing an evaluation, what's the fear? Again, we're all held accountable. When we talk about stability for someone's own business, that does not come at the expense of the taxpayers of Volusia County. And I recollect when we had another conversation about this position within the board, somebody that currently sits on the end of the dais here made a request to know approximate earnings for said firm. And I believe it was over $400,000, and we were only in the third quarter of the year. Remember, the firm versus the employee, sometimes two very different billing sources. So again, I just want to say to you that accountability is for everyone. I'm proud that you're staying the course, but ladies, do not be mistaken. You are fully capable and able to do this work. I am really disturbed by any kind of inference that would lead anyone to believe that the three of you weren't able to make decisions. Superintendent Hazel, I'm here to tell you right now, I am very disturbed by comments that would call into question your ability to also make a judgment. I get the consideration for Dr. Balgobin, who, mind you, is a woman as well. Believe that. But all of you are fully capable, and don't ever doubt it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Elmer. So at this time, since we're not actually selecting just one of the tools, I don't believe we need to vote, because unless you'd like to cast a vote on whether or not we agree on the timeline. Yes.
Madam Chair, I move that we table this for the next meeting
on July 26th.
Okay. Table selecting the tool to the next meeting.
Well, won't we be voting on the tool the next time?
I thought we were going to. No, I thought the tool was going to. Okay, let me go back. By July 7th at noon, we are going to all submit what we want on the tool.
But I'm talking about the final product.
I thought we were going to receive the final product and complete and fill it out.
But we still have to agree to it in public. That's what the meeting's for.
Well, I guess we're in for a long night.
Yeah, if we table this, then we have all that information. We have input from every board member. We have clarification on the job performance. We have a document in front of us that we've all contributed to and it's been evaluated by our chair, and it'll come before the board.
Yes, Ms. Burnett.
And so if we're going to vote on the tool on July, whatever our July meeting is, we go straight into to the performance. That has to be by policy on our agenda in our July meeting. So we'll be doing both at the same night then.
Well, we'll have the tool, won't we? We'll know what it is.
I mean, I was going to be prepared to come to the meeting with my evaluation completed.
Well, we will all have one that we seem to, but we still have to agree to it as a group in public.
Then I guess we agree to it and then go straight into the process.
Well, if that's what the policy says.
The policy says that it will be determined on the July meeting. We only have one July meeting, so.
Okay, well.
I mean, I'm just trying to follow policy.
Oh, that's fine with me. I'm just trying to make sure that we do this in public as.
Understood.
We're supposed to.
Yeah. So we will do both parts on July then.
Okay, so let me restate. July 7th by noon, we each submit what the pieces and parts are of what we want in the evaluation. With Dr. Balgobin's permission, on July 12th, Mr. Cologne, Mr. Penley, and Ms. Bishop will meet, and Mr. Penley will just help identify if we have placed anything in there that is his job role versus Mr. Doran's job role. By July, maybe by July 14th, that will come out to us to take a look at. We will submit back any input to Ms. Bishop. She and Mr. Cologne can meet the week of July 18th. I'm not going to select the date on that right now. They can meet, take back any feedback that came from any of us, and they can have the final document out to us no later than Thursday, July 21st. We will come into the board meeting to meet. And what I'm going to say at that time is that the final document also has to go to Mr. Dorn. Okay. Like he has to have access to it also. And then we will come in to meet on Tuesday, July 26th. What I think we would need to do is have, probably the first board actionable item that evening coming straight out of the consent agenda be for us to vote on the tool.
Cool.
Okay, then if they have some other actionable items, they can have some time in there, and we possibly finish up the evening with the actionable item of sharing how we have evaluated on the tool and coming up with an average or whatever of where we're at, right? Because that's what we do, and we'll do it in the public together.
Yes,
all five of us. And we would end the evening then with a final consensus on where we are on each of the items. Is there anything else that you want to add or you want clarified or I have not?
One thing I think we need to clarify, and that is when we do discuss it, there is no vote on that, correct? Or we just submit our individual evaluations because there is no, I mean, what's the result? We're not voting on anything, are we?
Let me look at something. I think we'll sit here and we'll probably just go item by item on where we stand and come
We
could be here for hours.
Okay.
It's our job.
It is our job. I mean, how long does it take when you would take the five, because you've done it.
Yeah.
You've taken the five that have been submitted for a superintendent and come up, how long is it taking you?
I don't remember.
I mean, I'm not looking at this being that difficult.
Okay, that's fine. It all depends upon how long the evaluation tool is.
Well, according to Mr. Doran, it's a very narrow scale of what he does.
Yes, that's why I suggest.
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, the superintendent has a lot more responsibilities.
Absolutely. It's much more
complicated. And Mr. Penley has a lot more responsibilities. So it's very narrow. So I would think it shouldn't take that. I mean, it shouldn't be as comprehensive as our other ones. Right? It should be very simplistic.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know about simplistic, but yes, I mean, generally speaking, what you're saying is true. But, you know, if you're going to model it after the superintendent, then the process, which I have handled for the board every year for 20 years, was to approve the evaluation instrument. We made sure that Dr. Fritz, for instance, had the evaluation instrument a year in advance of his evaluation, because otherwise he didn't know what he was going to be evaluated on. But even without that, in every single instance, and Dr. Fritz chose not to do this, the superintendent would put together a package of information that would assist board members in rendering judgments in these various categories. So if you go back, Dr. Smith, every single year, would produce a package like this. Mr. Russell, the same way. So, you know, I can't give you any information in advance when you don't even have a tool until the day of. And, you know, I just throw that out there. I mean, I don't know that any... You all generally have an idea of what I do, but, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, so... I don't communicate with you guys on everything I'm doing because.
Well, the one thing that we have from you that, because, you know, I opened up my mail, is, you know, at least monthly we receive a detailed.
Yes, you do.
Itemized thing that tells us,
that gives us a good
what you've been doing for the month and, like, you know, what you've had to talk about, how you've had to attend board agenda, you know, the consent agenda, if you've had to, you know, do anything with a policy, whatever. I mean, we do get the, and I keep all of mine. I mean, we get them every month so that, you know, we know what's been happening, for, you know, down to the point that, you know, if you called Ms. Cuthbert to talk about something, it shows up on here. And so, to me, that's, I mean, I don't know what else to do. Sorry, she calls you. Okay.
I don't usually call.
I don't know what else you'd put in a packet for us, because this kind of outlines what you do for the part for us. Because now, like, when you handle cases, your law firm handles cases through Mr. Penley. That's not for us.
That's right.
So, and if there is something in an executive session where you're present, you know, with us, where we're having to hear something, we know that you're doing that, like, because we're all present.
Yeah.
For that. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
No, as long as it's simple and short, and, yeah, we can go through. But if there are 12 items, I mean, it could take us a long time. So I'm just concerned that
we have
our decisions made ahead of time. We can do this, yes.
Yeah, I think if everybody has it filled out, and we may find that, on several of them, we're all on the same page. Like, it may be identical. So, all right. Then everybody's clear. And Aaron, is it possible for Aaron and Karen just to get together to make sure that they could, like, notify Mr. Persis and Mr. Cologne of the dates, since they're not here, and I don't want them to have to go back and listen to figure out what the dates are? Okay. All right. Then any other questions? Any other discussion? All right. Then we have a plan and we know what we're doing. And since I don't attend the consent agenda unless I'm filling in, I'm trusting those of you that attend the consent agenda will make sure that it's on the agenda for the July 27th.
Yes.
Mr. Clone needs to know that, too. So that it's on the meeting for July 27th. Any other public participation? I've got more public participation. Here, you thought you were going to get away without handing me any cards today. Yes, Ms. Jennifer Kelly, and we're going to have, we will, I'll give an answer after you're done.
Good evening, everybody. I usually come here with concerns, not tonight, although a few did arise during this meeting, but I'm not going to discuss those tonight. I just wanted to come and say the last meeting, someone came up and asked about the notifications on the changes on the agenda, and excuse me. I am very pleased to say and happy to report that I did see them all this last agenda. It makes it so much easier for us to go back when we're paying attention and, you know, coming to the meetings to speak. So I just want to thank everybody and anybody that had to do with that. So thank you guys very much.
Aaron.
Thank you.
Aaron Lieben.
It is Aaron.
Aaron
gets the... So to make sure that the people that are at home understand what is happening, when the agenda is posted, typically on a Tuesday afternoon, the week prior to when we're meeting, there are invariably at times changes or things added to it that may not be there when you open it up at first, or a presentation may be taken down and it tweaked. We all know or have learned that the personnel documents could be changed on a daily basis as someone gets hired, someone decides to take a leave of absence or, you know, retire, resign, whatever. So one of the things that's difficult is if you go in for anybody, and you take the time to read all of that and be prepared, and we appreciate all of the parents and community members, teachers and staff that are doing that, you don't know when something's changed. The only way we even know if something's changed is we do get an email notification, but even with that, we still have to open the email, we still have to click on the link, and it still has to take us there for us to see what's changed. Like, it just doesn't pop up and say, you know, this item was changed and this is how it's changed. So it's not even an easy process for us as board members. So Ms. Lieben, now when you go into board docs, she is put right there where you see, like, tonight or today's meeting, Tuesday, June 28th, she has an ongoing list of any changes that are made and the date that they were changed. And so that's an additional duty that she's doing because she reached out to the company to figure out, you know, could something, like, highlighted all the things we suggested. And so she gets the credit for that. And it's a good thing for all of us, I think. Everybody, including board members, that is all listed there. And so we do appreciate you for doing that. So thank you. Anything? Okay. Any closing remarks?
Oh, I do. Happy holidays.
Yes, just for that.
Sorry, it's going to be a little bit lengthy. Sorry. I've received a few emails, text messages, so have you, this week about the EKG policy. One, I don't think there is a policy. And so I know we all felt last year when the gentleman came forward with the presentation, and we were very grateful that someone's life was saved. And I think as a medical professional, I think that's great. But I think we have not set this in a solidified process. One, there is no policy on it. It's a directive, if I understood. Is that correct, Mr. Penley? And so then there's some unclear communication as to opting out, not opting out, who can opt out, how you can opt out. And the other part of that is there are free opportunities with I guess Advent for some physicals, but
but that's not enough for everybody, nor can everybody make those. So adding an EKG to an annual physical, one, it's not always the right age for that. It's not part of an annual physical. I've taken my children every year for theirs. Never once have they had an EKG or even been, I've been asked to get them one when they were younger, that is. And so then you're looking at more cost. So I think we need to look at that. And I know that there was a school that completely went ahead and took away their soccer team for the year because of this process. So I think we need to clear that up, and we need to do that sooner than later. And if we don't have a policy that mandates that they have this EKG, I think we need to not be mandating the EKG, but highly recommending it and letting the parent sign an opt-out. So I'd like some, and I know we can't vote on it because it's not an actionable item tonight, but it never was a policy to begin with. So I don't really know, Mr. Penley, if you want to direct us on that or if that's something Mr. Doran would direct us on. But so if we didn't have a policy, there doesn't need to be a lengthy process to change anything.
Madam Chair, the issue is one of participation in interscholastic athletics, and it's my understanding that that directive was either discussed at the board meeting and the athletic director believed that that was the case, or it came down from the Florida High School Athletic Association. So,
and I have that.
There is nothing for us to rescind, or if you want to give a different direction to the athletic director about sports, that's one thing. You can do that. But
so, can I speak for a moment? So I was sitting over there the night the presentation was made, and the way it was done, it really tugged on our heartstrings. And that evening I received phone calls from a doctor, from a nurse who works in the heart cath lab at a large hospital, and they proceeded to tell me that this was not required by the Florida High School athletic piece. But I will tell you, sitting there that night, and this is one of those cases why I have issues where I think all PowerPoint presentations should be uploaded for us to view prior to coming in here. And, you know, and sometimes we come in here and we see them for the first time there. There was a piece flashed up that night that truly led me to believe that it was a requirement. Like, that's what was stated and that's what was put up on the screen, was this little piece that kind of led us to believe that it was now a requirement. And I took that as a requirement from the, you know, the Florida, you know, sports piece, that it was now required. And we heard the story about the young lady, you know, from Seabreeze High. But what was said to me is there are a lot, like EKGs, like anything else, can have a lot of false negatives, and that actually just having an EKG done would not necessarily have prevented what that young lady, it may not have even picked it up, okay, because that's not necessarily what it picks up. And I personally, you know, want every one of our children to be safe when they're playing, but once again, I think my personal opinion is we crossed a line into making medical decisions for families that we shouldn't be making. And I, too, have received several emails. The last thing I want is for kids not to be able to play sports or for schools to start shutting down their sports teams because the parents don't have the insurance or the money with which to go add this component onto the physical component already. And then if it comes back as a false positive, it's hundreds if not thousands of dollars for the next tests that have to be done. And we've just now taken away the ability for those students to play. I too took my own children every year for, you know, physicals at the doctor, and never once did they ever have to have an EKG or the doctor say that they needed an EKG, because what was shared with me is a big part of just even listening to their heart and listening for that heart murmur and things like that. That's more of what you're looking for than putting them up. And I'm not a doctor in any way. This is just what was shared with me. And so it's something that I had brought back up to Dr. Fritz after that, you know, like a couple days later. And I said, I have some real concerns because I didn't feel that the presentation was totally honest. I seriously thought it was now a requirement that we had to move to. And my understanding is it's not a requirement on the athletic document. It does not say there on the Florida, you know, for them to have clearance to play sports that they have to have an EKG. So we've got all these mixed messages out there now. And it's nice that Advent Health, you know, has provided opportunities for kids to go to the Speedway, you know, for 2 days here or there to get some physicals. But we've got kids that can't get to the Speedway. And now they're, you know, there's mixed messages out there from the athletic directors on campus about, well, if you haven't had an EKG, you can't play. We've got to, and I feel responsible because I believed the people sitting there that night that they were totally honest in what they were telling us. And that's, my perception was they were not honest. So I just want to clear this up so kids can play sports and parents make the decision on an EKG or not. And I think that should be between, you know, the doctor and the parent on whether or not they move forward with that. I don't want our kids to not be able to play because they have to have an EKG and or then, you know, the next test for, and the parent has to come up with that money. Did I capture, I mean.
I've looked up the Florida Athletic Association. It is not a requirement there. And most of the counties here, districts, do not require it. There are a couple that do, but they have a parent opt-out. And, again, I think we were coming from our heart thinking, you know, we wanted to make sure that all students were safe and playing the sports. And while I think it's a great idea, I think we just haven't communicated it well enough for us to have that as a policy, and it should be an option. And you know, if they want to, again, it comes down to financial too for the parents. If they're going for their physical for the kids at their own doctor, they're not going to get that EKG. They may not even offer it to them. It may not even be available there. So I think if you're saying it's a directive, Mr. Penley, and we have the option to take that away, is that something that Mrs. Hazel can take care of right now?
It was a consensus of the board, is my understanding, at the meeting, a directive from the board to the athletic department. It's not a policy.
Right.
In other words, and you're looking at me like I need to do something
no,
here
you
on
don't.
This one? No. This isn't legal. This is athletics and health. So I would recommend to the board, Madam Chair, if that's the direction that the board wants to take at this meeting tonight, to seek the advice of your athletic director and your medical professionals. It's not a, I don't even play a doctor on television. I'm just a lawyer in real life. So.
Okay. So where I'm struggling right now is typically for high school sports or even like the police athletic league sports, which our kids are playing in and things like that, typically those sports physicals are done in April so that they're cleared, so that they're doing practice all summer because football's already practicing. There's a lot of sports practicing. And we've got kids right now not being allowed to practice because of supposedly our directive. And waiting till, I just need to know what to do, because waiting till July 26th, we're shutting down more sports and we're excluding more kids from playing sports, and that may be the one thing that's keeping that kid excited about being in school is being able to play sports or keeping them right. Motivated or, you know, that's their goal. So I'm at a loss of how to
go about this. Make a suggestion that perhaps we have Mr. Beal is not here today, but perhaps we have him join the one-on-one conversations this week and Dr. Berrio to talk about, because I do believe the free physicals that we offer have already occurred. That That's done.
Mm-hmm.
So right. This would be anyone getting the private. And so we can certainly get board input. And like we make many decisions, we when we talk to you individually, get board input and then make a decision based on that.
May I ask a question? Is this a directive coming down from the superintendent? Is it more in her lane? Is it her decision? Or is it a board decision?
I think the problem is they did that presentation that night for us.
Uh-huh. But ultimately, for example, Madam Chair, in our meetings, then we can give our advice, and then it goes to the superintendent, whether this one or the one in 72 hours, to make that decision.
Yes.
Because it is a procedural decision.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Is that okay with you?
Yes. I mean, I want us to do what's right. It's not in policy. So we don't have a policy to follow. And so, that's why we were talking to you, Mr. Penley, because I wanted the legal way to do this and get this to where the parents can opt out, in this situation, since it wasn't a policy.
So if the board is going to adopt a rule either for or against it, that is the board's role. That would be a directive from the board to develop a policy and bring it before you for debate and consideration. And then we follow the same procedure that we follow for all other rule adoption, which is the 120 policies, the 120 statutes for advertising, comment, and then adopting those policies.
Mrs. Burnett.
Ms. Hazel, so when you're asking us about the one-on-one conversations this week, depending on what everybody's input is, then you can give the directive? Is that the way we're going to go? So that we can have this solidified this week?
That's the way that we went to require it. So
if
that's the way that we want to go to not require it, then...
We did all vote on it, but it was never put into policy.
Correct.
So,
I think to your point, Ms. Burnett, because we are in crunch time,
yes,
again, then I think it should be a directive from the superintendent, because it is procedural to how the school district
Agreed.
Is run with athletics. And that's something that maybe once the new board comes together this winter, maybe rethink that coming up for the spring.
Okay, so, but for this week, for this school year, and so that we can get this settled, we can do this over conversation, one-on-one, and get back to you, and the schools can be notified, the parents can be notified immediately. I mean, I'm even willing to have a conversation on Monday or tomorrow. Well, actually, tomorrow. So.
Right, we're scheduled for tomorrow and Thursday.
So we can get this done. Okay, so it will be done by Thursday this week, hopefully. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so just to be clear, each of us have a one-on-one meeting already scheduled this week, either tomorrow or Thursday, with Ms. Hazel, and she will ask us to provide her with input, and then she will make a decision or talk to Dr. Bogabin, and they will make a decision so that we can get this information out to parents. Is everyone good with that?
And athletic directors.
And athletic directors, Mr. Beal, principals, assistant principals, whoever's on the campus running, overseeing the athletics, the coaches.
The university soccer team.
Hmm?
The university soccer team.
Yes, the university soccer team. Because we do not want to cut soccer or football or cheerleading or anything at this point. All right, anything else for discussion this evening? I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday weekend, and thank you very much. We are adjourned.